Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay, I spent much of Friday and almost all of the Sunday broadcast talking about Rand Paul endorsing Mr. Mitt Romney for president. And the libertarians have come out against the Pauls for this, and Ron Paul's involved in it. You better know that. The whole thing's been concerted effort together. There's a big firestorm over it, but I'm not going to spend the entire broadcast dealing with this today. We have an article up at Infowars.com that deals with all of this. I want to be clear. I understand their political decision, but I don't agree with it. Do I think Ron Paul and Rand Paul are bad? No. It's just this is not the type of thing that we see from Ron Paul. And people say, well, Rand is not Ron. Well, he sure campaigned like he was. And we've seen a lot of changes taking place. Here's the headline, Rand's Romney endorsement focused around 2016 presidential run by Paul Joseph Watson. We're going to be going over that report coming up later in the hour. And Webster Tarpley, who just a week and a half ago at Bilderberg was laying out his concerns, and I think he's been validated in many respects, he's going to be joining us coming up in the third hour today. Rand's Romney endorsement focused around 2016 presidential run. Ron Paul campaign responds to controversy. So they have responded. Not Ron Paul, but Jack Hunter has come out and said, well, we want to get Rand, you know, in good with the Republicans so he can run in 4 years for president. You were popular and had a maverick constitutional base because you were different. Why not just endorse total war now? Why not endorse Patriot Act? Why not endorse everything that Romney supports, carbon taxes, you name it, Obamacare, and then we'll just elect you, but it'll be Mitt Romney or Barack Obama in everything but name. Obviously, you can sell out and get elected. They're like, hey, don't you want us to get elected president or be VP? Don't you want that? Don't you want to win? Well, that's not winning. And they're like, don't you see the logic? Why, we're getting mainline Republicans to like it. You mean the people that helped bring us where we are today? Just like Obama. Hey, Alex, you don't like Bush. You better support Obama. It's like talking to two-year-olds. The same people that run Mitt Romney run Obama. There's no difference. That's why Ron Paul was special, because he never compromised. The whole system hated him. He was a constitutionalist. And that said, I agree with a lot of Tarpley's analysis on the direction the Pauls are going, but I don't agree with his economic solutions and that Bilderberg likes the Pauls and, you know, and that they want, you know, to get rid of the UN and all this stuff. Yes, does the Bilderberg group want to co-opt libertarianism? You bet they do. So we'll have a discussion, not a debate, because it'll go south very quickly with Tarpley. Yeah, if we start arguing, because I got in an argument with him because I'm there to interview Jim Tucker. Tarpley's there at a restaurant, you know, a few miles away from Bilderberg. It's like 10 o'clock at night. I go to meet with Tucker. There's Tarpley, my friend. I like him. Funny guy. Very interesting. A real character. And he's interrupting during the interview on the live feed. And I go, knock it off. And he goes, you need to shut up. And I said, hey, I'll go to you after I'm done with him. I did an hour plus interview. Tarpley's like, oh, your battery's going to run down. I'm like, hey, it's a live stream. Ended up, I mean, it was just, you know, Tarpley's so beside himself that he got aggressive with me. So me and Tarpley are not fighting with each other. He was tired. I was tired. I've been out bullhorning probably 6-7 hours that day. I had no voice. I sounded like Humongous from The Road Warrior.
Just bring out the gas. We spare your lives.
So Tarpley's coming up. Now, I got big breaking news from Jesse Ventura. Governor Jesse Ventura on the TV show front, more importantly, lawsuit front. He has filed suit against the Navy SEAL that says he beat him up to sell books. That's all coming up. I'll give you breaking news on the other side of this break on that front first, and then giant amounts of news that I've somehow got to hit. It's a big broadcast today.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We're live, my friends. It is Monday, the 11th day of June 2012. We're going to be live here for the next 3 hours. House moving to hold Holder in contempt. Boehner says that no more stalling. They clearly have been caught lying on oath about shipping guns into Mexico and hand grenades to try to then ban all semi-automatic firearms in this country. Their false flag has been caught wide open in the face of everyone. If you're watching us at prisonplanet.tv, if you're an XM listener on 166 or on an AM and FM dial, if you go up to Infowars.com, you will see all of these articles. Almost all of these articles that I am looking at in front of me are linked or posted up on the site. And as you can see, if you're watching on television and can see with the document cam, I have an unusually large group of stacks. There's more than, well, let's count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28 stacks. I will do my best to go over all of these. It's enough to actually scan over them and read them at home over the weekend and last night and this morning. And more is breaking as we go. Now, obviously, I'm going to get into the firestorm that is Rand Paul endorsing Romney. And some are saying, the minority are saying, hey, who else is he supposed to endorse? What, do you like Obama? No. The point is this what you'd expect from Ron Paul or Rand Paul? I mean, this is Mitt Romney we're talking about. This guy might as well be Obama. That's how crazy this is. And it's not just this radio show, libertarian constitutional shows across the board, the Libertarian Party, you name it, are in horror. And Lou Rockwell and others who are good people say things like, well, you know what, Rand is not Ron. Look, that was a concerted thing last Thursday where Ron Paul puts out the press release. Okay, we can't win the delegates when they played folks, telling them they could to keep momentum going, knowing they couldn't 3-4 months ago. Right as Rand goes out on Hannity and says that he is endorsing him because they have a lot in common. I mean, what did people expect? This certainly diminishes the aura of being an outsider who never compromises. That's all I'm saying. Are Rand Paul and Ron Paul bad? No, they're not. They've got great voting records. They're constitutionalists who fought the Patriot Act, the police state, the Iraq War, and so much more. So I like them. They've been on this show many, many times. But being friends of this show and coming on the show for 17 years, as Ron Paul has done, is not enough to get me to continue to turn away and act like I don't see what's happening. In fact, the libertarians in their press release say, you know, we looked the other way when you went for sanctions on Iran. We looked the other way with your rhetoric changing, hoping we were wrong, but now enough is enough. And that's what happened. Benefit of the doubt, but at a certain point, it becomes chump land, schmuck land, sucker land, dupe land, useful idiot land. And so I'm saying, hey, get back on the straight and narrow constitutional movement. You're not going to make the Republican establishment love you. They're the same ones, Rand, that tried to destroy you in Kentucky. I'm going to talk about that later with Webster Tarpley in the third hour. Now, I got a bunch of news I want to cover. Huge news with Fast and Furious, the Commerce Secretary running into cars repeatedly 3 times and leaving the scene. We're going to be getting to all of that today. The UN announcing, yes, we are going to tax the internet and control sites and restrict free speech. I mean, it's all out in the open now. Everything's moving into high gear. The Labor Department wants to have journalists basically licensed by the government and you're issued government computers. That's what an internet ID is basically turns all the computers into government computers where they can tax you, track you, and shut you down. And they're saying that's the plan. They're trying to bring in a new dark age of control. Speaking of new dark age of control, big article that went up last night at Infowars.com. United Nations envisions transhumanist future where man is obsolete. This was put on by Ray Kurzweil, the UN, and the Russian government was involved. Super creepy. And at the bottom of the next hour, I'm going to play this 7-minute clip and then stop it and start it and analyze it. They admit world government, the end of humanity as we know it, as if this is progress. No, this is directed to make technology oppressive and controlling. And we're going to be going over all of that today. We also have Google and Apple both launching drones all over Europe, the U.S., and England. It's not enough to have Google cars driving around stealing your passwords and downloading everything off your computer. You see, they know it's less scary for whatever reason to have a company like Google. They have a sweet name. Do no evil. Don't be evil. It's kind of like Warren Buffett. Hey, I got an ice cream cone. I'm a nice old man. It's all this non-threatening cover that people like Obama and Mitt Romney have. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. And now they're launching all these drones. Look, Google is an NSA CIA front creation. So is Microsoft, and so is Apple. I don't know how many times I've had to explain that to people years before it comes out. Okay, it's all out in the open now. I mean, Google has bases at NSA bases. They have an NSA joint center with them. They were started with NSA and CIA money. They have air fleets at NASA facilities. There, all these globalist executives, these fake Bilderberg libertarian groups that are trying to co-opt libertarianism, they were given the Dragon X rocket and the technology and the infrastructure, and it's hailed, though most of it's government funding and infrastructure, as a libertarian adventure into space. The space program's over, the space shuttle's over, but your tax money now goes to a bunch of billionaire executives. They don't want you thinking about space anymore. They want you looking down here and becoming a wirehead hooked into your Apple or your iPad. That's all coming up as well today. Also, Pentagon experts are announcing that all the major tech sold by China into the United States and Europe has back doors for the Chinese government to enter it. Of course it does. There was global treaties in 96 that all new tech have back doors for all governments. It's the Pentagon that, look, we've been captured by foreign banks, and now they're pointing out that their Chinese partners can use the back doors to scare everybody. You put the back doors in there, traitors. You're not even traitors. You've got to first be an American and actually stand for liberty and freedom in this country to sell us out. I forgot. You can't sell out if you were never on our side to begin with. You're actually doing your job. Bringing in total corporate fascism with a eugenics transhumanist overlay. That's all coming up. Now, Paul Watson's writing an article right now. I hadn't talked to Ventura since I talked to him down in Mexico when I called Governor Ventura up. They waited till he just left, been on my show a few days before, announced he was driving in his RV through dangerous Mexico to the Baja, from Minnesota to the Baja. What is it, like 3,000 miles to simply bypass the TSA trying to crush his genitals that I've witnessed? You know, he's un-American. He doesn't like some pervert scum going after him. And I called him and I said, yeah, a gentleman named Chris Kyle, a Navy SEAL sniper, says he beat you up at this particular Navy SEAL bar that happens to be owned by one of Jesse's old-time friends and instructors. And he's like, you're joking, Alex. You know, you've never called up. And that's pretty funny. And he started talking about, hey, what's going on? And I said, no, seriously. And he was like, really? And then he went into town. He has to drive into town like 50 miles to even get on the internet. Sometimes they can get on the web when wireless is working just right. But the point is, he went into town, got on it. I got him back on. He came on and said, this is totally untrue. I was not punched out. And he goes, but that's not even the issue. It's that I was saying, I'm glad the troops are dead. They deserve to die. I would never talk like that. And, you know, I know Jesse. He always says the wars are wrong and it's terrible to feed our valiant men and women in military into the meat grinder. you know, his dad had a whole bunch of battle stars from World War II, Battle of the Bulge, you name it. I mean, Jesse was really hurt by this. His brother was in the Army. He was in the Navy in underwater demolition. And he was in the Navy SEALs before they even called it that. That's what it comes out of, is underwater demolition. And so the media ran a hoax. And then we noticed that News Corp, the folks that tap your phones and engage in all the dirty tricks, the other media does it too, they published Chris Kyle's book. And it was all their shows that announced this when they knew he was out of the country. So he couldn't really respond. So the thing had a, you know, the total setup of a PSYOP, and Jesse was blown away, and he said, well, I'm going to have my lawyer get back on it. When I get back in late May or early June, I will sue him. He said, you can tell folks I'm going to take action. But he goes, I will sue him. The lawyer's already been instructed. As soon as I get back to the U.S., it's filed. In fact, it was filed a few months ago, June 4th in Minnesota, Minneapolis, federal court. They went in for an arbitration hearing to give them a chance to settle. And Chris Kyle did not settle. So Ventura's going ahead with lawsuits. A lawsuit, and obviously suits are also being looked at against publishers, because when you consciously try to lie and consciously try to defame somebody to make money, it doesn't matter if they're a public figure. If you consciously try to defame or engage in libel or slander to make money, like, hey, that restaurant, you know, puts cockroaches in their enchiladas, come to my restaurant. You get sued for that and you lose. And he's got Navy SEAL witnesses. He's got the Navy SEALs, obviously, that own the bar. He's got Terry Moy, Terry Mother Moy, very famous Navy SEAL that was one of his instructors. Jesse, by the way, had decided not to sue him until the senior Navy SEALs called him and said, we know that story's not true. We're tired of Navy SEALs stabbing each other in the back. We want you to sue. We got one life, ladies and gentlemen, and it's time to stop being spectators and get informed and get involved and realize the mystery, the magic of being alive, and the fact that there's a struggle always going on at every level of civilization between good and evil. All right, just finishing up with this, Paul Watson's going to get an article out on it. Jesse Ventura will join us for a full hour tomorrow. He's just doing TV and print today, and then radio tomorrow kicks off with us. Promoting his new book that's excellent. I think it's the best of all the books he's written. It's Demo Crips and Reblublicans. He told me that title a year ago when he started writing it. No More Gangs in Government, $19.95 hardcover, normally $24.95. So it's discounted out of the gates, and nobody can top this deal. American Conspiracies for $4.95 hardcover, excellent book. And 63 Documents the Government Doesn't Want You to Read for another $4.95. All three books for $29.95. You want to get a tool to wake somebody up? All three books are powerful, discounted together or individually at Infowars.com. So I keep meaning to call Ventura, because I know he's been back a few weeks. I knew he was planning to sue when he got back. I had talked to some other folks, just as an aside, knew he was planning something, because the SEALs had challenged him to. But I finally, this morning, driving to work, I thought, well, why not call Ventura? I call him. Boom, he answers. Hey, Alex, how you doing? Isn't our interview tomorrow? And I said, yeah, I noticed you're starting print today. What's going on? He goes, well, let me tell you. He told me about the TV show. You notice that was supposed to air like 3-4 months ago and hasn't? They're getting no word. It's been done for months. It's just sitting there. Got some of the top ratings on True TV, third season. I'm in it, of course. And it's not come out yet, and they're not getting answers. Doesn't look too good. You know, Homeland Security made threats. I'm not allowed to give all the details out because I was told this in confidence, but I can say they were threatened and some things happened. There were some visits, and I think I've said too much. I'm going to see. Ventura may go all the way tomorrow. It'll blow you away if you know the full story of what happened. Let me tell you, we're not in Kansas anymore. And they had that FEMA Homeland Security concentration camp episode. Disappeared. Supposed to air about 50 times, aired one time. Erased off the DVRs. Well, now the whole series may go into the black hole. In fact, pressure and talking about it may force it out there. That's why True TV has approached me about my own show. And they're like, you don't want to fly out here and talk about doing a show. And I'm like, no, I really don't. Because you wouldn't let my information on air unless it was tainted. I don't know how they got two seasons out. The best, most avant-garde research I've ever seen. It's not perfect, but it's pretty darn close. And it was done from a heart of liberty, from a perspective of truth. And it got too popular. And, well, that's a side issue. Here's the breaking news. Ventura had said he was going to probably sue him, but then he thought, you know what? The guy just wants publicity. I'm staying in Mexico half the year. I'm not going to do it. But he got contacted by Terry Moy, known as Terry Mother Moy, one of the most famous Navy SEALs ever, Navy SEAL trainer. And he got contacted by other Navy SEALs. You know, a famous Navy SEAL owns the bar that this supposedly happened in. And the Navy SEALs did their own investigation, and they said, this is totally made up. They found out that Ventura had been there to be at an event he was invited at, had not spoken like the guy said. Turns out had not even been at the bar that day, and that none of this happened. And Ventura contacted, through his lawyers, Chris Kyle, and said, are you sure you didn't get in a fight with somebody else? And Chris Kyle, this went to court last week on June 4th in Minneapolis, St. Paul at the federal court there. And at the preliminary settlement hearing, Ventura offered the details of their settlement, admit you're lying, and pay for the attorney's fees, basically. And I'm not supposed to even get into the whole story. I know Paul Watson's writing the article right now. They gave him a settlement offer to admit he was lying. And, you know, to shut this down. And Chris Kyle, who knows he'll be destroyed if he gets found out, said, I'm going ahead with this. So it's going to court, lawsuits, deposition. The lawsuit's been filed, obviously, but it's going to go into the full lawsuit now. And Ventura was just going to drop it until Terry Mother Moy, Mother Moy is his nickname, called him, and others, and said, we know this isn't true. We're sick of all these Navy SEAL movies with real Navy SEALs in them. Army Special Forces doesn't do this, doesn't get involved in Hollywood. Other special services, Delta Force doesn't. This is an embarrassment. And we believe that Chris Kyle did this purely to sell books and stabs the SEALs in the back. And so they said, you have got an order. In fact, he said he was told, he was ordered by the other Navy SEALs, including his former commanding officers, that... In fact, that's the quote. You were ordered to sue him, and you were ordered to bring him to justice. So there you go. Ventura is suing. The phone's up right now on any issue you wish to discuss. Obviously, I would imagine a lot of you want to talk about Rand Paul endorsing Mitt Romney. The toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. I've had time now. First, I got upset Friday hearing the news of Rand endorsing Mitt Romney. I got angry by... yesterday, and now, look, it is just the politically expedient establishment thing to do to endorse Mitt Romney, who's for abortion, open borders, carbon taxes, restrictions on the Second Amendment, and helped write Obamacare. But if Rand Paul thinks it makes him mainline in the Republican Party, ahead of being VP or running in 4 years, it hurts you with the base, who are for no compromise. All we do is compromise. But the real reason I'm so disgusted is just with the political process itself. liberty is in such trouble. Corruption is so out of control. We put up with pretty much anything today. And if you'd have told me 6 months ago that Rand Paul would endorse Mitt Romney, I mean, I remember people saying, look at how Paul isn't attacking Mitt in the debates. Look at how they keep saying, get the delegates. That's a plan to bring the delegates in for political power within the party. But, you know, they're basically lying to their constituents, implying they could still win. You know, all of that is what concerns me. And that's what concerns the supporters of Ron Paul and Rand Paul. They're saying the exact same things I'm saying at the Libertarian Party in their press release. They're saying the same thing basically across the board. And they're saying, you know, now he's voting for sanctions, which is an act of war, which his dad has said is an act of war against Iran. I mean, is there nothing he won't compromise on? This is basically the boulder that broke the camel's back. It's not a straw. And now that aura of uprightness is gone. And Ron Paul coordinated this through Campaign for Liberty and through his congressional system. Everything's coordinated. Rand and Ron live together in D.C. Now that's on record. And the whole thing was coordinated last Thursday. And people are like, oh, no, Ron Paul's been betrayed. No, he hasn't. You know, we can blame Jesse Benton for things Ron Paul's done. We can blame Rand Paul all day. In the final equation, whatever's going on here, Ron Paul is behind. Unless he comes out and criticizes all of this. And I said Friday, Ron Paul, you need to come out with a press conference or a new statement. And he didn't. They had the head of Campaign for Liberty come out, Jack Hunter, and say, hey, we're just positioning him with the Republicans. We're playing politics to get them on our side. Well, come out for an Iran attack then. Come out for torture. Come out for the Patriot Act. Come out for naked body scanners. Come out for NATO commanding the U.S. military. Just do what the mainline Republicans do then. We had to prod Ron Paul to get behind Congressman Jones's legislation to start the impeachment over the U.N. and NATO commanding our military. And he didn't really speak about it much. I mean, I saw Ron Paul about 4 or 5 months ago start getting very milquetoast. And I saw people out there notice it and get concerned. And I said, look, they got a strategy to get to the youth. They're educating people. You know, hey, let's leave Ron Paul alone. Think about the real enemies, the New World Order. And I think that's why I kind of backlashed a little harder than I probably normally would have. Because people say, well, which is it? You knew this was coming or you got chumped. My gut knew it was coming, and I was concerned, and I lied to myself. That's the answer. Because in one breath, I'm like, I thought something like this was coming down the road, but then I'm like, but I got chumped. It's kind of like you get that feeling that your girlfriend's cheating on you. And you go, you know what? I've never really been a paranoid type guy, but I think I'll drive over to her house. I'm sure this happened to everybody in college or high school. And you drive over, and there she is getting in the car with the other guy. So there you go. So did you get chumped by her if you knew something was going on? I mean, it's kind of both. Now, again, I'm not saying this is an outright betrayal, but it begins to go into that territory. So I want to get your take on all of this. Again, here's the headline at Infowars.com. Rand's Romney endorsement focused around 2016 presidential run. Ron Paul campaign responds to controversy. And their thing is, hey, we're just playing politics. Oh, well, that I didn't think that was the Paul brand that I bought into. And they're like, hey, Rand's not Ron. Really, the fundraiser letters I get sure implied that. When I supported him, he sure acted like that. And I don't like the drifting I've seen. We've seen a lot of drifting. Let's say he was right on target. Two years ago with Ron Paul. And then he drifted 30, 40 degrees or so. There's a big drift here. And it's going, so we're, hey, we don't like that. And some people are like, hey, we're winning. You know, what do you want, Obama? No, I don't want Obama. And I don't want Mitt Romney either. Again, it's that false choice. Hey, do you want grape-flavored cyanide Kool-Aid or cherry flavor? Or how about coconut? Or how about raspberry? Or we have strawberry. And I'm like, but it's the same thing. It's some food coloring, some sugar, and some cyanide. I don't want any of these. It's kind of like, which amusement park do you want to go to for vacation? You can go to anyone you want. This is a sales tactic. You can go to Disney World, or you can go to Six Flags, or you can go to SeaWorld water parks. And I'm like, you know what? I don't like big crowds. I don't want to go to any of those. I think I'm going to take my kids to the coast. Oh, you just don't want to go on vacation. See, it's these mind games they play with us. If Mitt Romney wasn't such a total betrayer in his entire career of fake goody-two-shoes behavior, I could say, well, I think we're going to get betrayed, but Obama's so bad, moving so quick. Let's repudiate all the crimes of Obama by getting Mitt Romney in there. How about we impeach Obama? How about we start arresting the criminals like Holder? Boy, let me tell you, Republicans started doing that. But see, they can't because they're all involved too. What does Holder say? And I predicted this 6 months before it happened. What did Holder say when it was brought up? Hey, you lied in Fast Furious. He said Bush was running similar programs, and ISA went, meeting adjourned. Let's not go there. Because they're all involved in Iran-Contra type stuff. Before Iran-Contra even happened, guns into the country to control the drugs back in. I mean, do you think the $500 billion plus in drug money a year just in the United States, do you really think that crack house with no windows, with some crack whores walking around out front of it, do you really think they're managing that $500 billion? No, we know who's managing it. Wells Fargo and Wachovia, $376 billion from 2008 to 2010 alone, source AP, Bloomberg, Fox, Reuters, you name it. The troops start complaining about growing the opium. They just have the troops stand in formation in front of BBC, ABC, Fox, CNN, on every channel. Yeah, we help grow it. We don't like it, but if we don't, the Al-Qaeda will get the money. The Al-Qaeda will get the money. The garden gnomes that we're all supposed to be so afraid of will get us. The same ones they're publicly using to give Libya over to, and now Syria. Publicly, they have Al-Qaeda blowing up police stations and military bases, engaging in massacres. They got caught planning a chemical attack this weekend that was going to be blamed on Assad, with Hillary running around saying, we've got to invade. And she starts crying on stage. The massacres are so horrible. Look, here's a picture of a dead woman. I mean, these are people who will kill millions to take over areas. Ethnic cleansing of 40-plus thousand black people lined up and shot or macheted, much of it on video, and Hillary's laughing. We came, we saw, he died. Yeah, he came in, did what we said, invested his country's money with us. We invaded him and stole it and killed people and turned loose Al-Qaeda to kill the blacks. And by the way, Al-Qaeda says they're going to kill all the Jews in Syria and force the Christians out. I mean, that's official Al-Qaeda. And they're going to go into Syria, they're going to force the Christians out, they're going to kill the Jews, and it'll be in the back of the newspaper. Oh, it'll even be in the news. Like, you don't know what you're reading. Like, you're an idiot. Like, I'm an idiot. Oh, we got to give our rights up. Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda. Meanwhile, Al-Qaeda publicly works for the big mega banks. After a weekend of rage amongst Ron Paul supporters over Rand Paul's endorsement of Mitt Romney, the Ron Paul campaign has issued its first quasi-official response to the controversy in the form of a video blog by Jack Hunter, who argues that the endorsement is a political move. Now, we get political moves, politics over principle, designed to position the Kentucky senator to be a presidential run in 16. Yeah, designed to position all the political hacks, a lot of a mainline Republican strategist that they brought into Rand and Ron's offices. And by the way, folks, if I wanted to go after Ron Paul and Rand, I could do it. What families told me, what high-level staff have told me, stuff going back a while, and I'm like, man, I'm really worried about all these mainline Republicans. I mean, Aaron Dykes, for heaven's sakes, went with his mother a few years ago to D.C. and went into Ron Paul's office and said, oh, yeah, hi, we're here. I work with Alex Jones. And the staffers began to jump up and down hissing, basically saying, we hate Alex Jones. until other staffers came and said, oh, no, 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 we like Alex Jones. There's been an internal war with a bunch of little rich kids that want to be politicians infesting the Paul operation. And the fact that they were there beforehand, they weren't influencing things, though. Now it appears they're starting to take over. So we're saying, great, take over, play politics. We're not going to be part of it. Very simple. Free country. Enjoy yourselves, Jesse Benton. But next time I get Republican mail that I never got until I gave money to Ron Paul and Rand Paul, from every Republican candidate you can imagine, neocons, you name it. I mean, what, did somebody steal the list of Ron Paul donors? No. Campaign for Liberty is pimping the list out and getting upwards of 10% of the money raised for other candidates. And look, that's fine. So Jesse Benton can make more than Karl Rove, $500,000 a year? Whatever. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. Like I said, some of you neocon libertarians are like, Alex, you better not badmouth Paul. You better shut up if you think I'm trying to bring down Ron Paul. Shut up! Shut up, you little neocon scum! Shut up or I'll sink your entire ship right now! Shut up! Shut up! Do you read me? Shut up! Shut up! Stop trying to steal this country and take over and ruin Ron Paul's legacy and ruin Rand Paul. You're screwing up a chance to take this country back, you morons. All of you with your little speech impediments and the rest of it, you know who I'm talking about. All right, that's enough. I'm going to stop right there. Okay, I understand why they did this. I don't agree with it. And I'm done talking about it for now. I got all this other news. I'm going to cover and take your calls. It's just that I start thinking about my hot-button issues here. Campaign for Liberty is endorsing all these neocons now. I mean, I just, if it keeps going this way, I'm going to have to assemble all the evidence, and just so it's clear that I have nothing to do with it, I'm going to have to come after you politically. And you're a bunch of arrogant fools. You think I want to hurt you bad politically? You guys are so arrogant up there now, so starstruck. I've talked to people and I go, yeah, Ron Paul's really becoming popular with yeah, he's a rock star. You're sitting there talking to the press secretary. And the person's all getting off on it. Someone who's never had media power. And you're listening to him and you find out that people are on power trips. Now, Ron Paul isn't. I don't think Rand is. But let me tell you something. Get a hold of all those snot-nosed people you got working for you, or we'll get a hold of them for you. I'm going to stop right there. I meant to be nice. If Rand has not endorsed Romney 2012, every single Republican in the race would use his non-endorsement to bash Senator Paul relentlessly, like they did your father. That's what people want to see. It's popular to be contrarian. That's why Ron Paul was really winning and got cheated, argues Hunter, adding that Paul would be blamed for Obama achieving a second term in office. No, you just point out that you're not endorsing either one of them. Or you make a joke and say, I support Romney-Obama 2012. You have a co-presidency because their policies are exactly the same. Should Rand Paul be victorious in securing the 16 Republican nomination and go on to become president, will anyone care if Rand Paul endorsed Romney for president in 2012? Ask Hunter. See, there's the disconnect. Hey, why not have Ron Paul endorse some wars if it gets him elected? You know, why not compromise? Similarly, Hunter argues that if Mitt Romney won, Rand would have more leverage to become a strong critic and a rallying point for other Tea Party lawmakers should Romney become the George W. Bush 2.0. Oh, I think it'll be worse. There is no shame in compromising politically to achieve principles. Compromise to achieve principles. Boy, you talk about doublespeak. But we can never compromise our principles to simply advance politically, states Hunter. That's what you just did. Noting that Senator Paul's voting record is consistently pro-liberty. Sanctions on Iran. Should I go on? And here's my quote in here that I sent to Paul. I want to add a line here. Although I was initially very hurt and angry, I understand politically why the decision was taken. The source of my real anger and disgust is the corrupt political process itself, said Jones. People love Ron Paul because he never compromises principles. It's about principles, not politics. America needs principles because compromised politics has gotten us where we are today. Pointing out that it was delusional to think that Ron Paul was not involved in Rand's decision, Jones believes the move is a miscalculation. The Pauls are an ally for liberty in government, but their decision to integrate themselves with the Republican establishment will backfire in the long run, warned the radio host. And it just goes on. Yeah, I understand why they did it, but I don't agree with them. And I don't like the sharp-eyed politicos that they're surrounding them with. Okay? Okay? It's just that simple. And I'm not going to just play along so I can get people on my radio show and, you know, get invited to the inauguration or something. I could care less. I've been around national politics. I've been around big glistening media complexes. It's a bunch of fake, plastic, empty people. But for folks out there that aren't confident and don't feel fulfilled, the power of having staffers kissing your rump and the suits and the helicopters and the media appearances and all of it, people buy into the delusion. And I'm not buying into it. And I know that if Obama gets in, it's going to be a disaster. And if Mitt Romney does, it's going to be a disaster. Because the globalists own them. This is the globalist agenda. The New World Order. Something we don't hear about very often from the Pauls now. So get back to your roots. Call straight ahead and then a giant blitzkrieg of news coming up. Stay with us. I'm Alex Jones of PrisonPlanet.tv. Let's start going to your phone calls here. Let's talk to Dean in Virginia. Dean, you're on the air, broadcasted worldwide. Thank you for joining us. What's on your mind today?
Alex, I'm confused. I've seen and I've watched your support of the Pauls for many, many years. And what confuses me that the total support that you and the listeners and the viewers give that he didn't before. And this is, by the way, the Paul's decision, it seems, happened right after the Bilderberg meeting, and all of a sudden they come out with the support of Romney. What surprises me is that with all your support, that he didn't have the decency to contact you back channels or even privately.
Well, here's the deal. Paul said 4 years ago, without me asking on air, that half his support in the first campaign came from this show. And that's why Ron Paul's always come back here. I mean, I was interviewing Ron Paul 16 and a half years ago before almost anybody knew who he was. And, you know, their view is now they've hired a bunch of high-powered Republican people, and they don't need Alex Jones anymore. They don't need this move. They knew there was going to be a backlash. They say, we want the mainline Republicans now. Dad's retiring. He'll go off and speak to student groups and, I guess, raise money for Rand, and Rand is being brought down the aisle in a big white bride dress to get married to the Republican establishment. And I'm just saying I'm not going to the wedding. I mean, I hope that, you know, Rand takes off the dress and runs out and decides not to do it. I mean, I think this is a bad move. What do you think?
I think they should have still contacted you to discuss it with you, since you almost basically put them notoriety where they are.
Well, our listeners were a key part of the launch pad, maybe 30-40% of it. But let's not listen. It's not about contacting me. It's the way it was announced on Hannity, the way the dad put out the thing. Yes, now we can't win with the delegates, when it was clear they couldn't win months before. And like, you know, really just using that as a base to raise money while they knew that they were going to do this down the road. And undoubtedly, there were meetings back months ago now. All of this, it's just, you know what? I keep intending to come on air and just say, let's move forward, because it just becomes demoralizing. The good news is, liberty's so popular that Ron Paul won the first few states, and the system had to steal it. And they should have realized that and stayed with it for principle. That's the only way they're going to have an effect. We got 100 other creepy old men who were senators who sell out, and nobody knows who they are. I think they've made a big mistake because all their advisors are politicos, and they want to make money off the election system. Campaign for Liberty now pimps all these neocon campaigns and runs them for them. And so I don't see them taking over the Republican Party. I see the opposite. Now, I see some good candidates coming out of it, and that's fine. And we're here to say, hey, get back on the Liberty track right now. I appreciate your call, sir. Noel in Chicago, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex, I'm still shocked that Rand would do this. But I'm not surprised. Back on May 15th, Jesse Benton, they had that was the day after Ron Paul dropped out but didn't drop out. He had a teleconference where he admitted that Rand Paul was going to endorse the nominee. It was quite obvious the nominee was going to be Romney. So that was the first indication that something was wrong.
Exactly. And notice they keep trying to let it out like a you-know-what in church. Yeah, for okay, our campaign's over, but it's not. Supporters keep giving us money. Oh, we're still going to Tampa, but be respectful. We're not going to win. By the way, Mitt Romney, exactly. They're playing politics with us, and I don't like that. Anything else?
Yeah, on Friday, I interviewed Rand Paul in Chicago at the CPAC Chicago convention. And it was just so odd seeing Rand Paul. I asked him about Bilderberg. I asked him about...
Wait a minute. Are you the guy that asked him about Bilderberg and he runs off?
Yes.
Stay there. We got the video.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Coming up, Gattaca becomes a reality as scientists abort babies for 3,500 genetic defects. Things that are also a lot of times connected to advanced intelligence and other attributes. Just amazing tyranny on that front. In fact, guys, I just saw that article this morning but never printed it. Will you print me that article at Infowars.com? Thank you. All right, we're continuing with your calls. We're going to go to Stephen, John, Scott, and others in a minute. But Noel in Chicago, I remember just a few months ago, We Are Change, Luke Radowski, talked to Senator Paul about Bilderberg, and he said it's a bad group and should be investigated. He was asked by reporters in Chicago Friday, and I believe it's the same guy that just got in. We'll play the clip and then ask Noel if this is him. And Rand said, look, I mean, he never really answers the earlier questions. And then he says, well, I've already talked to you. And then he walks away, no comment. I thought it was Barbara Boxer or something. Again, they're now making political decisions. I mean, listen to this Hunter guy, you know, in the Campaign for Liberty going, well, we've got to do this to make Republicans like us. No, you take them over. You educate them. You don't. Again, if he would have come out at the thing and said, well, he's our nominee, I'll be encouraging you, Mitt, to do the right thing, then it'd be, well, okay, but instead, we've got a lot in common. And clearly he wants the VP slot. I mean, you know, that's what's going on. It's about their political dynasty having power, not about doing the right thing. Let's go ahead and play this clip. Here's Rand Paul Friday being questioned about Bilderberg.
Senator, can I just one quick question as we can walk and talk?
I gave you a couple. I got to keep going.
Just walk and talk. It was reported Senator John Kerry was at the Bilderberg meeting in Virginia. Would you support looking into whether or not he violated the Logan Act?
No comment.
There you go. No comment. And he's got the little cutesy, you know, aides and everybody walking, directing him like he's the queen bee or something. And I mean, I remember calling up Rand Paul, getting him on the show, pushing him to run, going, I don't know, you know, talking to him off air. My supporters going up there, forming the core of his people. They've all gone off to run other campaigns and try to get constitutionalists in. Was that you there asking the question, Noel, in that video?
Yeah, that was me. It's Julio Noel Rousseau, Alex. I just felt bad calling in the last couple of weeks. I used my middle name today, but that was me. I was Alex. It's crazy to see the total 360-degree shift from Rand Paul and the whole Paul campaign.
You mean 180-degree? 360 would be right back where he started.
That's what I meant, 180-degrees. It looked like Rand Paul, he had guilt on his face, Alex. It looked like, you know, he knows the backlash that's coming. Earlier in that video, he went up to a Paul supporter, a Paul delegate, and asked him, do you think everyone's going to be mad at me? And I kind of thought that was funny. He knows what he did. He knows the backlash that's coming. And you know, it was weird, Alex. He was trying to be nice to corporate media at CPAC Chicago and all friendly to them. But an independent journalist who voted for his dad in the primary in Illinois, total ignore, total
senator now, and he's important, and you know, he met with Mitt Romney, and he's going places. He's going to live in the big town in the big house because he's big time. In fact, can we come in with big time, folks? Big time, and I will live in a big house. Look, I just want to see him get back on the straight and narrow, not get dreams of grandeur with a bunch of nobodies. That whole political thing is a facade for the globalist. All that's coming to an end. We're either going into total tyranny or this system's coming down. Okay? And to see the Pauls jump onto the sinking Republicanoid ship as it goes under, bad move, bad move. Well, Julio, you're on fire. It was good seeing you in Chicago. You know, you can always call in, Julio. It's just we want to give other people a chance to get in sometimes, but you bet you can call in when you've got the breaking video. What great activist out there everywhere going out and doing interviews. I thought that was Julio. Calling him with his middle name. Next, it'll be his last name. I don't know his last name. I forget it, but one day it's Julio, next it's Noel, then it's Mr. Jones. We'll be back with more of your calls straight ahead. Stay with us. Rand Paul, don't destroy yourself. I'm gonna watch it grow in. Oh, you're going big time. You met with Mitt Romney. He'll tell you whatever you want to hear. You really believe you're going to get the VP slot doing this? They're going to let you destroy yourself and then throw you out like garbage. You're going to be big time? You're going to live in the big house? You're going to pray to the big God? A small town. You know, those constitutionalists that supported Daddy. You small words. I'm better than that. And smarter. Yeah, you gotta be a genius to say that you're tricking Romney and that you're co-opting the Republican establishment. Sure. The big, big city. Oh, you're leaving Kentucky. With all the big boys. Yeah, the fellow deserve. Yeah, Mitt Romney says he'd never audit the Fed. He thinks Congress has no authority over it. That's big time. Yeah, getting on your knees to him is big time mistake. Big time. Big time. Big time fall on your face. Big time walk into a trap. And all the politicos you hired, they're going to get paid off. They probably knew what they were doing. Led you right off a cliff. Oh, you're big time now. Get away from your base. Run to Romney, who's probably going to take a dive for Obama. Yeah, that's big time right there. Big time. Big time. Oh, getting a hang around with all the creepy old types at the Senate. Bunch of unbusted Jerry Sanduskies. Oh, yeah, you got it made like a mountain range. Oh, you're a rock star now. Oh, a big heaven. They're in D.C. Oh, the White House. Pull his chair out. Hold on. All right, I'm going to stop acting stupid here. Let's go back to your phone calls, and then I'm going to get into the big transhumanist news. We got Webster Tarpley coming up. Let's go to your phone calls right now. Libertarian Party rips Rand Paul. They've come out and basically said, you know, that he's launching all these wars, supporting new taxes. And they just go on and on here with the stuff that Rand is really drifting far here. So we're trying to take him to the woodshed here. Hopefully that has an effect. Probably won't, because after all, Jesse Benton and all the rest of the guys are big time. Let's go ahead and talk to Stephen in Florida. You're on the air, sir. Welcome.
Yeah, hey, good afternoon, Alex. I just wanted to say, first of all, I did call in to talk about this Rand Paul situation and Ron Paul, but I've been meaning to tell you in the last few times I called, I wanted to really commend you guys and your crew, the pit stop you took a few months ago and how you revamped the whole system. Your Prison Planet TV and the Nightly News, it looks as professional or better than anything.
Well, we're about to upgrade it again. We may have to take another pit stop because I've got 600 videos to choose who the winners are. I'm trying to hire other reporters right now, and I'm some nights don't leave here till 10 o'clock at night, and there's just not physically enough people. And then folks get their vacation. You know, they got to go to weddings and stuff. So right now, two or three people are on vacation. It's crippling us. But yes, we're going to keep upgrading everything, sir. We're trying our hardest here.
Okay, now here's what I wanted to say. You know, first of all, you know, there's too much of this, and you know, this go along to get along mentality in American politics. That's our problem. And, you know, Mike Adams wrote that article that you had posted on the website there about, you know, possible motive, you know, could he be trying to be a double agent, you know, Rand Paul.
Well, no, that's what politics is you start deluding yourself that flip-flopping is the way to, you know, do a greater good. And at first, his body language is he hated endorsing Romney, but then he gets into it and starts talking about how great he is. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Right. Well, you know, he made the statement, you don't do deals with the devil. And I don't know if you remember, well, you remember this, you've got a great memory. Back, remember several months ago where the media was coming out, and of course, we just thought it was them trying to, you know, hijack Ron Paul's campaign and stop him because they, you know, he can't win, et cetera. That stuff wasn't working.
Yeah, the media's, hey, they're meeting behind closed doors. Hey, he's meeting with Rand. They're playing softball. Santorum was saying that. And we're like, oh, that's not true. And looks like it was true.
I think that was the last time, if I remember right, that you actually interviewed Ron Paul and you asked him about that. And he, of course, said, I'm not aware of anything like that, you know, denied and repudiated it. But, you know, what struck me as really odd just recently was, you know, in Texas when they had the primaries, that's when they said, okay, Romney's clinched it, he's the nominee. But not long before that, if you remember, you know, Ron Paul, and you've hit on this a lot, he just all of a sudden said, we're not going to focus on campaigning in these states. We're just going to focus on the delegate process.
Yeah, that was the behind-the-scenes operation that the deals had already been made. Exactly.
Yeah, that just struck me as so odd. It's like, you sound like you're just giving up and quitting, because here's the thing. It doesn't matter what kind of opposition you're getting or who's saying what or whatever. If you really believe in what you're professing to stand for and you're a person of integrity, you're going to stand to the end and endure. If you remember in Monty Python, they put out that In Search of the Holy Grail, and I don't advocate this movie, but there was a scene with the Black Knight, you know, the guy in charge of it, he cut off his arm. And
it's a mere flesh wound. I am the knights that say neat.
Neat. You know, that's the thing. Maybe they did cut, you know, legs off, so to speak, you know, with, you know, the attacks and everything. But even if you can't win, so-called, you still stick by the stuff and stand by your principles. And, you know, Alex, I'll just finish with this. They say every man has his price. Not the man who sold out. He has nothing to sell, no matter how high the price is.
I hear you. And I appreciate all the points you've made. Look, I understand the mindset that they believe that they can take over the Republican Party, but that's not what's happening. And this is not compromise. We always give in, and the system always says, be reasonable, give us a little of what we want, and then we give them what they want. Be reasonable, give us a little bit of what we want. And there's more and more people are realizing that's why we've gotten this position. But it's almost a diversion to even talk about this. This just illustrates how bankrupt the political process is. Every time we stand up and don't back off, we win. For decades, they said there was no such thing as Agenda 21. Now they've had to admit it's real and are having to have a debate with us. A Americans haven't backed off on the Second Amendment and have said, no, we're not putting up with it. And so now we're starting to reverse some of the stuff. Same thing on abortion. Who is strong is who knows they're right and doesn't compromise. We have the moral high ground, but we don't use it. We don't use it. Ron Paul is not even that good of a speaker. He's a historian, economist, smart guy, not a very eloquent speaker. But he was very popular because he didn't compromise. That's all he had. That's all they had. That was the magic. That in a world of universal deceit, telling the truth was a revolutionary act. And the minute you start playing politics, I mean, if you do it a little bit, because I've seen Ron Paul confronted on 9/11, and he knows about false flag. He's very informed. He's like, I'm sorry, I just haven't had a lot of time to look into it. I know Ron Paul's a good guy at heart, but obviously they're scared of 9/11 truth. And I understood that politics-wise, so said, leave him alone on that issue. So, you know, I'm being a hypocrite because I'm saying, hey, you've got to be a purist. None of us are totally pure. We do little things. But when you say, hey, Mitt Romney's a great guy, and then defend it, and then a bunch of other things their people have done, that's why you put it all together. We're letting them know this is a big deal. Hey, buddy, if you want to compromise, we can vote for other people, too, that are compromising. You've just made yourself like everybody else. Let's go ahead and talk to John in Brooklyn, New York. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, good afternoon. Do you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I would like to ask you two things, please. Did you see this fascinating article in the London Sunday Times from June 12, 2011, about how the Kosovo Liberation Army would murder Serbians for their organs, for their kidneys, before killing them? Then there is another related case of this medicus.
Is that the Sunday Times magazine? Because it's not the 12th yet.
Last year, June 12, 2011, London Sunday Times.
Now, what was the headline? I mean, I do know that Al-Qaeda does murder people in Serbia for their organs, but you don't see the neocons talking about that because, you know, that's part of a real Pentagon op. Just like they're killing Libyans for their organs, mainly black ones, and that's a sacrament to Hillary Clinton. But I was aware of it. I don't remember the exact article, but tell me about it.
Yeah, the headline is Kosovo's Bitter Harvest. Did the Kosovo Liberation Army murder Serb prisoners for their organs at this remote farmhouse in 1999? And in this article, they talk about how there's this case with Dick Marty that 593 Serbian civilians were kidnapped right underneath the American peacekeeping forces for their organs. And then there's another related case how Hashim Tachi would import...
Tell you what, stay there. Yes, I do remember the article now that you mentioned it. We'll have it when we come back from break up on screen for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, for radio listeners. I'll give out the full headline. But yes, that is admitted, and that's all part of the goodies. Again, Al-Qaeda is the sword of the New World Order. It's a skeleton key that opens every door. I found the article from June 12, 2011, Ed Caesar, so just about a year ago, and I had seen similar reports, both people agreeing to have their organs sold, but others being kidnapped and having them taken, and it was a lengthy report in the Sunday Times, and we were finishing up with John in Brooklyn, then going to Scott and others, then I'm going to come back and do a bunch of news in the next segment. Get into a video the UN is promoting for transhumanism that's pretty unbelievable, but is actually standard operating procedure for these people. That is all coming up. Also, more on the Commerce Secretary reportedly hitting one car twice and another car later, probably on Prozac or something. They're all out of their minds or drunk. We'll also get into what's happening with Fast and Furious with that criminal mafia. And the Republicans actually flirting with bringing them to justice. But going back to John, that's why I point out that this is all just theater. We don't even have a government anymore. We're run by special interests who are lawless. And yes, they allow Al-Qaeda to operate all over Kosovo and Albania and to engage in horrors, out of a science fiction movie. And then none of it jives with reality when we're told that we've got to give up our way of life because of the threat of Al-Qaeda. Finish your comments.
Yeah, and also another thing I wanted to ask you is a follow-up question on when I called in last time on January 2nd. Now that, unfortunately, Patrick Buchanan has been fired from MSNBC and he's not running for president or Congress, what is stopping him exactly from speaking out in defense of 9/11 truth?
I don't know Pat Buchanan very well. I probably interviewed him 10 times over the years. We could try to get him back on, but he's kind of semi-retired. So I don't know that the answer to that question. I appreciate the points. Let's go ahead and talk to Scott. And my eyesight must be going out. I can't read where it says he's from. Scott, where are you calling in from?
I'm calling from Florida, Alex.
Hey, buddy, what's on your mind?
Oh, well, you know, what's on my mind is I feel pretty betrayed by the whole Paul situation here. I'm sure as many other people do.
Hey, it's just politics. You got to fool people. I mean, they put a press release out. I mean, come on. You got to get the Republicans to like him. So why didn't he endorse torture then? I mean, you know.
Well, you know, I think that both the Democratic and the Republican Party, they can't be co-opted or taken over. You know, we got to take the positive out of what came out of all this here, Alex. And so many Americans came together and supported Ron Paul here, and they took over. Look at all the conventions that they took over in all the states, and that is such a good and powerful thing. And
absolutely, people know about the Federal Reserve. They know about crony capitalism. They know about monopoly systems. That's why it's so sad at the end of it. It's like Ron Paul and Rand Paul and the Liberty Movement set out this huge buffet of fine food. And now Rand Paul has come in and basically pooped in the punch bowl in front of everybody. I'm sorry to use that analogy.
I agree with you. However, all these people that got together and all these organizations, you know, and, you know, maybe we should start instead of trying to put somebody in as president or Democrat or Republican, maybe we should start another party of some type.
But that's what Campaign for Liberty was supposed to do, was take over the Republican Party. And they've done some good, but mainly it's endorsing neocons or the lesser of two evils, where Dewhurst is pure, you know, garbage. And then you've got the Cruz guy who's CFR and wants property taxes. And I'm like, what? Again, they're trying to win up front, but win with establishment people, which is no win at all. You've got to be clearly different from the system, so there's a clear alternative as the system goes belly up. Do you see what I'm saying?
I absolutely see what you're saying. Absolutely. The point I'm trying to make is that we should try. Our government was never meant or designed to be run by professional politicians, and that is how tyranny begins. And this organization, I mean, they took over all these conventions in Louisiana and here and there. And maybe these people should keep their organizations together, get a good candidate to run, and start running against these people in Congress and start seating Congress with people that believe in liberty. And perhaps you and other radio talk show hosts can help these people out and get the word out for these good people and get these people into Congress instead of trying to fight the Republican. The Republican Party and the Democratic Party, I don't think there's any co-opting them. They're corrupt to the bone. And if we try and put another Republican in there, the bankers and everybody will just support them, give them TV ads, unlimited amount of money, to defeat any candidate against them. I think the American people are ready.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Okay, Adrian, Chris, Brian, Scott, everybody, we're going to get to you before this hour's out. I've got to get to this transhumanist video that Aaron Dykes wrote about last night at Infowars.com. United Nations envisions transhumanist future for where man is obsolete. I'm going to do a special report later in the week just on this topic. but I want to cover some of it here in just a moment. First off, here's some of the headlines. This breaking at Infowars.com. The media didn't cover it. It was like one article in the Minneapolis St. Paul newspaper when Ventura filed suit in February. It's now gone to court in the preliminary hearing, and so the suit is going forward. Jesse Ventura gets backing of former SEALs in lawsuit over punch hoax. Did not happen. That shows how dirty News Corp is, who published the hoax book. Well, that section we know is a hoax. So that article's up there. Barack says Hezbollah will get Syrian chemical weapons. Now, this is a day after we broke the fact that it's being reported Al-Qaeda is to be given chemical weapons to be blamed on Syria. And now, sure enough, that's being reported. Is Ron Paul finished on the national stage? John Rappaport article at Infowars.com. Also, Rand's Romney endorsement focused around 2016 presidential run. Ron Paul campaign responds to controversy. Gattaca becomes reality as scientists screen abort human babies based on 3,500 genetic faults. I'm tempted, because of all the callers and news I need to cover that and integrate it in with the transhumanist news, because this is the big enchilada. This is what the global elite are into. This is why I'm almost embarrassed I'm even covering Rand Paul. Okay, our hopes and dreams are to get America back politically from the globalist, but it's going to have to be an individual by individual awakening. We face such a tapestry of lies, such a full spectrum of false garbage, that we've got to resuscitate the general public out of their mind-numb trance. I mean, this is the zombification of society. And things are so much crazier in reality than what the television projects and what, you know, the average person believes is really happening. And I try to wrap my mind around that all the time. How do I articulate that the government openly grows the opium and cocaine and ships it in on record, that they're openly putting poisons in the food and water and our whole system's manipulated? We're living in like a science fiction movie. They're already moving with bioethicists to force genetic testing of parents and then ban people having children under socialist health care. The White House admits they want to ban all semi-autos if Obama gets reelected. And you're like, well, then vote for Mitt Romney. He'll probably try it, too. He's been for a total assault weapons ban. I mean, it's just so crazy that the tyranny's gotten this nuts. I mean, look at this CNET News story. CNET News is CBS. UN could tax U.S.-based websites, leaked documents show, and the UN admits, yes, the treaties and agreements that Congress is trying to sign us onto gives the UN control. They're trying to get Law of the Sea Treaty through executive order to let the UN run the oceans and tax them and the rivers. They're giving $2,500 fines for the wrong trash and the wrong garbage can with inspectors digging through people's trash. I mean, it's like a nightmare tyranny. And it's just getting started. Here's another one. Labor Department backs off plan to force reporters to use government-issued computers. Bloomberg. I mean, I saw that headline yesterday and couldn't believe it. Attorney General names prosecutors to probe leaks, and they're investigating leaks the White House put out bragging about Stuxnet and trying to arrest anybody that leaks stuff, including criminal activity. In fact, I meant to get to that clip yesterday from CBS News from 10 years ago about the $2.3 trillion missing. We may get to that today. Again, we're deep into tyranny. The Congress insider trades, which is illegal for them to do. Illegal, but when they get caught, they say, well, we say we're allowed to. Let's continue here with this news. AllGov has done a report on more Americans killed by bees and wasps. You've heard that before. We've given you those numbers. Or falling televisions than terrorists. We've got all this news coming out about the implosion of Europe by design. And we told you first it would be Greece and Ireland and then Spain, and always hundreds and billions more loaned to the very banks that are imploding the country, who then are the creditors. They're the creditors because we back them too big to fail. Then they loan us our own money back to us and then give us sanctions that we've got to follow in austerity. Again, it's just total false reality that the average person is living in. Listen to this report. House moving to hold Holder in contempt. That is some good news. But again, they're trying to get him in trouble for contempt or for perjury. Not even so much for the admitted crimes. They gave press conferences admitting Fast and Furious and Operation Gunrunner, just not the details that they were shipping them out of the country themselves, not just letting gun shops sell them. So Congress has press conferences. We've played with Eric Holder, with Napolitano, with all of them. They know it's not, they've got them dead to rights, but they can't go after them for the gun issue itself because Bush was involved in it as well. And Daryl Issa, Boehner, all of them have said the Justice Department is out of excuses. Boehner said in a statement today, either the Justice Department turns over the information requested or Congress will have no choice but to move forward with holding the Attorney General in contempt for obstruction of an ongoing investigation. Yeah, let's start impeaching all of them. You know, if the Republican Party came out and said, we're abolishing the Federal Reserve, we're going back to government-issued currency, we'll have a debate about gold back, we're getting out of the UN, we're shutting down these bases, we're doing all of this, I'd get right behind them. But don't hold your breath. They're doing this now because of the political season and because this happened to come out. Now they've got to at least act like they're covering it. So hold their feet to the fire. You know how Rand Paul could make up for trying to get us to go and get in bed with Mitt Romney politically? He could come out and say, impeach Eric Holder. He could come out and he could say, get us out of the UN. He could come out and say, impeach Obama over NDAA. I mean, let's see some dramatic action with your bully pulpit, not, oh, let's make the establishment Republicans like us by joining with them. Again, you have this bizarre story. Commerce Secretary John Bryson accused in hit-and-run crashes. Notice they say he was cited. He wasn't arrested. If you or I hit-and-run, we go to jail. He hits a car, hits it again, drives off, hits another car later, miles away, and is found passed out. And there's no discussion of being on drugs, no discussion of any of it. It's just, well, he got a ticket. And, you know, commerce secretaries are classically some of the most corrupt. I wonder if he'll go up in an airplane like Ron Brown if he gets too embarrassing. Peter King says drones carry out policy of righteousness and goodness. Yes, everyone knows that's what our political system stands for now. Righteousness and goodness. The most obese, the most sickly, the most degenerate, decadent society nearing collapse the world has ever seen since the Romans. And it's righteousness and goodness to have extrajudicial, illegal killings done by robot, cowardly attack fleets in our name worldwide, while the criminal government kills whoever they want in the name of fighting Al-Qaeda while funding and running Al-Qaeda. The military's killer drones have made America safer by decimating Al-Qaeda's chain of command, the chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee said Sunday. I mean, what a joke. What a joke. When you're informed, it's a total joke. We told you this was coming. Army Times, 3,000 soldiers to serve in Africa next year. That's just as advisors. The invasion of Africa has begun. And you're going to pay for it all, but you're not going to get the booty from it. That's just some of the news. I mean, it's just stack after stack after stack of news with what's happening here. You know, let's do this. I said I'd get to this transhumanist thing, but in the time I've got in the shower, I can't do it justice. I'm either going to play this tonight and give commentary throughout it, or I'm going to do a special report for the radio show, and it'll be out in a few days, because there's this incredible United Nations meeting, Global Future 2045 International Congress, held in Russia, and they say the end of humanity, the merger with machines, how it's going to empower us, It's the new spiritual revolution. See, they attack and denigrate the old religion, but then bring out their new transhuman religion, and they sell it as if total empowerment. Yes, technology could greatly empower humanity, but instead it's lowering the vocabulary. People aren't communicating. It's dumbing people down. Basic mathematics is disappearing. Language is falling apart, and people are already addicted. It's changing brainwaves, lowering cognitive ability in every study connected to Alzheimer's. And now the virtual realities are television wrecked our society. Now the new computer virtual reality is fully absorbing it, and they sell it all as if it's going to be the most beautiful thing and this Valhallic heavenly experience. And then meanwhile, the people at the conference, I looked them up, are all the globalists who are backdooring all the technology to fully enslave populations. And that report with the video is United Nations envisions transhumanist future where man is obsolete. And it's this utopian statement that well, don't complain about it because the evolution is here and that's the way it is. We shouldn't even have a debate. And it means the government will say how many kids you can have, but it's wonderful because it's technology. The Soviets had all this talk about spaceships and super cities. You know, we see that with the Zeitgeist movement. We see that with, you know, all of these different pushes. That they're going to deliver you some type of heaven if you'll just acquiesce to their vision of the future. And what it is a bunch of people in pods with their brains hooked in to the pleasure centers who are happy to be turned off. I mean, this is just total technological takeover. Drones, checkpoints, nanotech in the food and water, brain damaging us, rewiring our brains. That's just the beginning. And they've already launched all this. Most people in autopsies, this came out a month ago, already have nanotech that's gone through the blood-brain barrier. The GMO, hidden, only top scientists can even find what they've designed into it. Their fertility plunging. I mean, we are so deep into this already that it's a joke that I've even been talking about Rand Paul. I mean, it doesn't even matter. And Ron Paul's gotten more and more milquetoast. I mean, you hardly hear about the New World Order anymore, none of it. It's just a shame, and that's fine. I wish we could reverse this, because the globalists themselves are a bunch of nihilistic, power-tripping people in a power race to get these technologies for themselves. I mean, look at this report. Former Pentagon analyst says China can shut down all the telecom gear it's sold to the U.S., and it goes into how all the new electronics have back doors built in it. But if you knew the rest of the story, you'd know, as I mentioned earlier, that under the different telecommunications acts, 96, 2000, 2006, under all these agreements, all of the tech agrees on standard. That's why if you get a Samsung Droid or an Apple iPhone or a Sony laptop or a digital television, they all have tech to watch you, to listen to you, to remote erase your DVR, to watch you, to track you. The government now admits this. Remember how crazy I was a decade ago telling you this? It was in MIT. Just like I told you, they're taking your baby's blood at birth secretly for 40 years. Now it's all admitted. They do what they want. There's a whole scientific agenda by the technocrats. They don't watch Lady Gaga. They don't care about going to the big parties. They don't care about being senators. They are engineers, global technocratic engineers. When you see a film like Prometheus, and I told you we had the script, you notice my analysis was dead on, and if you've now seen the movie, that it's all about how the humanoids are really humans from the future. That's going to be in the next installment. This whole movie was just a build up to the next one. Oh yeah, I know more than just this, you know, this installment of Prometheus, and it's humanoids. Here, I'll just spoil the whole thing for you. Those are spacesuits that look like the Elephant Man, who've come from the future, but we're also in our past and engineered humanity and are now engaged in a genetic rewrite. The engineers are the New World Order. They believe they're going to attain the super science tech. They believe they're going to have the life extension and never die. And at this big UN conference, they say everything I laid out in Endgame. And the media ran these straw men things saying, Alex Jones says the elite are going to merge with computers and fly around the galaxy. You know, I was quoting Ray Kurzweil. I was quoting the UN. You know, Alex Jones says the elite eat roasted babies in foil. No, I was pointing out the powdered pills of babies, the roasted babies being shipped, the baby collagen melted down into expensive cosmetics. I was saying this is the type of trash at Bilderberg that engages in that. And the media goes with, I'm making up roasted babies in probably 15 publications. That's how they do it. By the way, I saw an Associated Press article about Prince Charles vacationing in Transylvania after Diamond Jubilee. In fact, that's somewhere in my stack and I couldn't find it. Guys, you put that on screen. I remember 15 years ago breaking down that they're not even German royalty that rules England. They're really Transylvanian. I mean, how weird is that? That Transylvanian royalty runs the known world and pushes this idea that they have no power, and that Prince Charles is obsessed with his Transylvanian lineage and hops around at old Dracula-style castles. Well, actually, there are Dracula's castle, is there? Hopping around in the Transylvanian woods. There it is. Prince Charles on private visit to Transylvania after the Diamond Jubilee. They say he spends like half his time there creeping around in the woods like Nosferatu. I mean, this is the level of weirdness we deal with. Truth is so much stranger than fiction, ladies and gentlemen. That's all I'm trying to tell you here. We're going to go to break, take two segments of calls, and Webster Tarpley is going to join us. I was going to get into this transhumanism, and I just did, but I'm going to get into it properly. Showing you what I said in Endgame. It's free online, by the way, folks. You can buy the DVD at Infowars.com if you want it for posterity so they can't just erase it off the web as they've been trying at Infowars.com. Also, don't forget, I never even plug our sponsors. We've got Ventura's new book, Democrips, and Republicans, I can hardly pronounce that. And we've got the best gravity-fed filters, 10% off with the code WATER at Infowars.com. The ProPure, Infowars.com, lowest price anywhere, or 888-253-3139. Stay with us. All right, let's go to your phone calls. Let's talk to Adrian in Michigan. You're on the air. Thanks for holding. Welcome.
Hello, Alex. And you're right. It's a shame that we are wasting our time speaking about Rand Paul. If he continues down this path, at most it's just going to be a failed establishment victory in 2016. And what we need right now is a victory for liberty through honesty.
What we need is to identify that the country's been taken over by six private mega banks out of Europe and is imploding the world to destroy the free market and on it build a monopoly insider system. And if we don't identify these guys, there's no way to turn it around, because in every country, they own the top two or three parties. The system is fixed like a Don King fight. How do we get around that?
The only way is if we all go out there and individually inform everyone we know, friends, family, through the cable access television and everything else, and to try to work through the local level.
Absolutely. The system wouldn't be trying to censor the web and bring in control. They know as things get worse, people are going to listen more and more.
Yes, they will. I suppose that'll be all, except I'd also like to say for Jesse Ventura, thank you for continuing your fight, and I salute you.
All right, he's going to be on tomorrow. Thank you for the call. Yeah, I mean, I disagree with Ventura on a lot of issues. Unlike Ron Paul, I agree with him on almost everything. But with Ventura, he doesn't compromise. I know him personally. He is real. He is real. And if he every once in a while starts to change his view, he'll tell you why. He certainly doesn't do it for political expediency. And that's why the system came after him. And Ventura's not running for anything, folks. I mean, maybe in 2016, but I doubt it. He is sick of it all. He wasn't going to sue this guy until his Navy SEAL, you know, former bosses said, we know it's a lie. Yeah, you know, people that own the bar, everything, they checked. They found it's made up. They said, well, you got to sue this guy. We can't have the SEALs doing this kind of stuff for money, stabbing each other in the back. Let's talk to Brian in Michigan. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Well, I have no doubt that Rand Paul was threatened, but despite that, I will never forgive him for endorsing Mitt Romney. And I also disagree with Jack Hunter's analysis, saying that he had to do it to become president in 2016, because there's two problems with that. The first of all, who's going to vote for him now in 2016? Because he's lost any chance of me voting for him, as well as Rand Paul. And the second problem is, who's to say that the Republicans wouldn't play dirty tricks on him like they did to Ron Paul in 2012? And I hate to see a wasted effort go by, because I know people worked hard in the Liberty campaign in the presidential run. I would just think the Ron Paul supporters, and I know he's not perfect, but he is similar at least, and just to go with Gary Johnson this year.
Anything else?
Well, that's all I have to say on Rand Paul. I'd like to plug a book if there's time. Just a good fictional murder mystery that'll wake people up to the New World Order is called Swear and Oath by Kevin Morris.
All right. Thank you so much for the call, Kevin. I'm joking. I know your name is Brian. We do have Ventura joining us tomorrow. It's going to be a very informative interview. The future of conspiracy theory on True TV, his lawsuit that's now gone to court. Last week, that breaking news up at Infowars.com. I've got a bunch of other news concerning NATO doing drills inside the U.S. to take on American terrorists, unprecedented tyranny and treason, and more. A few more of your phone calls, then Tarpley is coming up to give us the latest on Syria, where he's traveled to, and Rand Paul.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay, folks, Webster Tarpley coming up. Not only has he recently traveled to Syria and can break down the admissions that Al-Qaeda is working for NATO, so I'm now unpatriotic because I don't hail Al-Qaeda. We are also going to be speaking with him first about Rand Paul, Ron Paul. I saw him about a week and a half ago and got in a big argument with him about Rand Paul being sellouts to the New World Order. He didn't show any evidence of that, but he did say, you watch, they're going to go more and more with the establishment, and that indeed did happen. So we're going to get his take on all of that coming up in a moment. Also, we got the Bilderberg documents from 66, where they were freaking out about de Gaulle and centralized government economic nationalism. That's the model that Tarpley believes in. And he says de Gaulle is the model of that and was telling me that. And then I get these Bilderberg documents, and it's all about how much they hate de Gaulle in 66 and how they've got to get rid of him, which they did do. And I'm not endorsing de Gaulle. I don't know enough about him. I mean, I know a little bit. I've read about him and read some of it, but I can't like endorse him. Because I'm not a historian like Tarpley, who's particularly looked into that area. So we'll start out from that perspective and not just have a heated, angry debate, because I like Tarpley and I don't find it enjoyable to just sit there and, you know, hiss at each other because he believes in a state system. He says he's a statist, and all I see is nightmares from the state. I get if you have a corporate fascist world government that's above the law, that's bad, too. But it's not like either Tarpley's view or Ron Paul's view is the way to go. You know, I'm just trying to have the public engage in a debate about these issues. So that's coming up. Marlis in Washington. Is that Washington State or Washington, D.C.?
Washington State.
Welcome.
Hi, thank you. Hey, just a few points here if I could make real quick. I didn't get involved in Paul's campaign this year because I was involved in it quite heavily in 07, 08, but it didn't take me very long to realize that his campaign was heavily infiltrated by the opposition. And it was very, very disheartening to do, when you put so much energy into something, to have the rug basically pulled out from under you by people who don't do really what they need to do to make things work. So it was really frustrating, even though I went to the caucus this year and supported him and actually went to the county as a delegate. But I wanted to put a little angle on this, him and what's going on lately. If a hit was ordered on Paul, and Paul thought that if he was bumped out, there would have been blood in the streets because of the fervor of his flock, perhaps it's possible that to prevent the bloodshed, he went this route, being a man of peace. Now, I'm not making excuses for him, but it just put another spin.
Yeah, but
on
I mean,
it.
Even the response by Campaign for Liberty is, hey, we got to play politics, get the Republicans to like us. Well, just endorse the wars, the torture, the banker bailouts then. I mean, just become Mitt Romney then. I mean, why didn't Ron Paul do that if this is such a great thing? And then I don't want to hear, oh, Ron Paul is Ron Paul, Rand Paul is Rand Paul. Listen, Ron Paul is involved in all the strategy of this. They coordinated his announcement Thursday, Ron Paul's, that, oh, we can't win now, as if that wasn't already known, with Rand coming out and endorsing him. And my whole point is, going in that direction, Ron Paul was good because he was fighting the wars, fighting the banksters, exposing corporate welfare. That's something Republicans don't understand, and now they're starting to. They're like, well, all corporations are good and all government's bad. And I'm like, wait a minute. Corporations that hire people are good and that are constitutional, but if you're a multinational corporation that writes the laws to be exempt from the laws you put on your competition and your main business model is banker bailouts and government contracts, you're the enemy. You know, all these defense contractor people are like, oh, you know, we need a bigger defense budget. It's not even our military. It's there to enforce these banksters' operations. And Ron Paul talked about that. And that's the antithesis of Bilderberg Group. But endorsing Mitt Romney, that is the Bilderberg Group. We'll be back with Webster Tarpley.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show. Because there's a war on for your mind.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another worldwide hour of truth in defense of liberty and resistance to tyranny. I am Alex Jones, your host. Again, it is Monday, the 11th day of June, 2012. And for the balance of the hour, Dr. Webster Griffin Tarpley, doctor of history, he's also an economist, will be joining us. He is the author of George H.W. Bush, The Unauthorized Biography. He also wrote The Unauthorized Biography of Barack Obama, and he is a 9/11 truth scholar and activist, a AB Princeton 1966 summa cum laude, Phi Beta Kappa Fulbright scholar, University of Turin, Italy, MA in humanities from Skidmore College, and PhD in history from the Catholic University of America. He is fluent in Italian, German, French, Latin, and Russian, which is always interesting when you're at events with him because he's conversing in different languages with people. Tarpley is a true character, and I like him. In fact, he's one of our favorite people here around the office. He's also very funny in private, and we'll try to get him to do some fun things at the end. I said, will you do the Ron Paul imitation later? And he said, if you behave yourself. And so like a trained seal, I am here waiting for my treat at the end. So Tarpley is here with us. Now listen, this is what happened. Just to preface this, it's like 10:30 at night or later. I get there to interview Jim Tucker Friday night in the middle of Bilderberg. I've been screaming all day. I have no voice. I'm totally exhausted. And there's Jim Tucker. I'm there to interview Jim Tucker. And Tarpley's mad at what's being said and is interjecting. So we start arguing with each other. By the time I get to him, you know, we dispense with the pleasantries and like two gamecocks start slicing each other up because he's saying, your buddy Ron Paul is going to sell you out. Yes, the Bilderberg likes him. And I'm like, come on, Tarpley. I can understand that you believe the state can organize things and empower people. Ron Paul believes the opposite. But your analysis about the corrupt oligarchs we've got is spot on. And his instincts about what Obama would do. He's a key part of the Obama deception. His instincts are very, very accurate when it comes to politics. I'm not as big a romanticist as he is. You know, we debate monetary policy. Should it be a government fiat currency like Lincoln had, or should it be a gold currency? Just because I entertain both doesn't mean I'm flip-flopping. We're having a debate. But overall, monetary education, cultural education, being involved, knowing how systems work, that's the answer. Now, he starts going off into a rant about de Gaulle and how, that's the type of system he likes. And as I'm trying to get him to quantify it, and then later, a few days later, I get secret Bilderberg Group documents leaked to us, and part of the 300 pages that Aaron's now published, Infowars.com, is all about them obsessed with de Gaulle in 66 meeting in Wiesbaden, Germany. And how if his nationalism spreads, it'll kill their command and control. I get the philosopher king. If you're going to have a quasi-socialism, if you have somebody like de Gaulle who does it to actually empower people and build infrastructure, those infrastructures like coral reefs can supply an ecosystem. My issue is it always goes downhill and gets taken over and becomes horribly corrupt and out of control. So Tarpley wants to address first, because I asked him the other day on the phone. I said, are you a communist? It was like the Un-American Affairs Committee meeting. I said, listen, I get what you're saying. I don't disagree with your analysis of the problems, but are you a communist? Because, you know, my experience, look, liberals that say governments can empower people, they want my guns, they want my private property. He says, no, that's not the system. And he says, I want to explain to your audience this de Gaulle model. So he'll tell us about that briefly, tell us, describe who he is, and then tell us why. Because you notice I haven't had Tarpley on the last 4 or 5 months because it was just like endless Ron Paul ranting when I knew Ron Paul was out of the race by then anyways. And the Ron Paul supporters are like, hey, say get involved with the delegates. And I said, okay, I guess to try to influence the platform, but this is going nowhere. And people got mad at me from that side. Tarpley got mad that I wasn't saying, you know, that Paul was El Diablo. And I'm just like, look, most of the manufactured food, it's not the right word for it. The processed food has nanotech in it now, and it's being found in our brains. You know, GMO is killing us. Vaccines are deadly. By the way, Tarpley thinks all that's great, too. So that's why I think in his worldview, there's a few blocks missing. Of course, with me, too, anybody who's smart, you know, got things about them that are, quirky or whatever. And I'm not trying to be mean to Tarpley. And I will ask you those questions later. I also want to get into Syria where you've traveled to. But there's my preface to this. Tarpley, who are you? Have you or have you ever been a member of the Communist Party?
No. And let me point out right at the beginning, this thing about Marxism, Leninism, this is a complete red herring. I represent the American system of political economy. Notice it's called the American system, not the Austrian system, and it's not even the de Gaulle system. It is the characteristic economic school of the United States. It starts with Governor Winthrop in Massachusetts Bay. It goes to Benjamin Franklin, who founded the post office that we have to fight to save today. It continues with Alexander Hamilton, who created the federal government and allowed this country to live when it was on a British death watch in the beginning of the 19th century. Goes on to Henry Clay. Henry Clay coined the term the American system, and this was a protective tariff, a national bank, and infrastructure paid for by the federal government, even if it's only in one state.
Yes. Now I agree with that. Because
hang on, there's more. Mm-hmm. Lincoln, right? This is Lincoln and the people around Lincoln. We shouldn't forget Friedrich List, the greatest critic of British free trade, the guy who said free trade and free market is the way the British dominate the world. So if you're going to build an economy, you've got to have a full set economy. And whether you're Germany or the United States or whoever you are, you've got to use protectionism to keep the British out. And that was the Republican Party doctrine. Henry Carey, another important guy. You go to the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania. That was founded. It's in a charter to teach the American system of Henry Carey. And instead you go there and these lobotomized professors today don't even know who he was. Then it goes underground. And this is the part where we can see for ourselves. When the gold standard was restored, the crime of 1873, the deed done in the dead of night, the Specie Resumption Act, that is where the populists come in, because these were farmers, right? These are Western farmers and miners too. And what they find is that their debts, because of the gold standard, the debt they have gets to be crushing because they borrowed paper dollars and they're going to pay back gold dollars. That's one side. And the other side is the prices they're getting for their goods go down, down, down. So that is the populist movement I urge people to take a look at the populist platform of Omaha in 1890. Those are the roots of the New Deal. Many of the concepts, such as parity price for farmers, come from the populists and are then taken up in the New Deal. And then by the time we get to this century, it's quite obvious. It's Franklin D. Roosevelt, the New Deal. The first time in human history that the middle class has become the numerical majority of the entire society. And this is the society, the New Deal state, the New Deal society, that fought off communism, fascism, and Nazism, put a person on the moon, and unlocked the secrets of the atom. It is the most effective form of human organization yet devised. Kennedy tried to revive it with the New Frontier. He was assassinated by Wall Street finance oligarchs working through the CIA operations director. We also should mention LBJ, right? Johnson, in his domestic program, especially Medicare and civil rights. This is also a continuation. Unfortunately, he fell for the Vietnam War line, and that is what destroyed him. Since the coming of Nixon, right, and we just had the 40th anniversary of Watergate this past weekend. Since the coming of Nixon, the American system, as we had it, has been dismantled. And this is what people have to understand. This Austrian litany of deregulation, privatization, union busting, the race to the bottom, the destruction of the social safety net, that is what has lowered the American standard of living by two-thirds over the past 40 years or so. So this is what I stand for. It is the American system. It's not foreign. Austrianism, by contrast, right, this libertarian Austrian doctrine of von Mises and von Hayek, you'd have to say, what is that? Where does that come from? Well, it doesn't really even come from Austria. I guess that would be bad enough. But it comes from the London School of Economics. That is where von Mises and von Hayek got their leap into international prominence. And above all, what people need to know is that Austrianism and libertarianism, that is a synthetic doctrine designed to brainwash people, to get them to the point where they cannot see their own interests and they're eager to cut their own throats.
All right, let's stop right there because I'm going to – hold on. Webster, I have to announce to the network we're going to skip this break coming up here in about a minute and a half so you can finish. You can get into your indictment. I want to get your perspective on this, but I want to go back. Why do I see out of the New Deal types – wanting to restrict my Second Amendment, wanting to raise taxes on the middle class, and that money always getting siphoned off to the crony capitalist monopoly men. Why do I see the big tax-free foundations, Ford, Carnegie, lobbying? I understand for both sides that they are trying to control the libertarian movement so that they can grow a big government and then absolve themselves from taxes and take control of the wreckage. But I think it's more sophisticated than just saying, oh my gosh, we need to go with this New Deal system. All I see the inheritance of the New Deal doing is coming after my Second Amendment and my family and trying to make me dependent.
I think that's too much of a low-level view, and I don't see how you can blame the New Deal for things that have happened since about 1970.
No, but I'm saying what came out of it. I mean, well, you know, the Great Society, all of this.
Yeah, what came out of it was, first of all, that the United States did not succumb to Nazism and fascism. Remember that Roosevelt was the leading anti-fascist of the world. He was the only person who consistently opposed fascism and
Nazism.
Okay,
well, I want you to get into that, but let's go back to your point about the libertarians being synthetic.
Yeah, look, we look at Peter Thiel, right? Peter Thiel of the Bilderberg Steering Committee gives $2.7 million to the Ron Paul campaign. What does this mean? It means precisely that libertarianism and Austrianism is a synthetic ideology designed to get people to cut their own throats. We can also go back. David Rockefeller, this was the funny thing about that scene at the Bilderberg. David Rockefeller was of course not there. I guess he's too sick. But the patron historically of the Bilderberger group is David Rockefeller.
Some good news that he's getting ready to die.
He pays a lot of the bills. Yeah, but now you're going to get Thiel, and Thiel is actually worse. So David Rockefeller is paying for what's going on inside, but outside there are people who say, I'm a libertarian, I'm an Austrian, I'm for Ron Paul. That doctrine is also subsidized, paid for, by David Rockefeller. He paid von Hayek. Von Hayek had to spoon-feed him economics when David Rockefeller was studying at the London School of Economics, and he paid von Mises. The most dangerous secret organization for your listeners is not Bilderberg, not Trilateral, not Skull and Bones. It's the Mount Pelerin Society. The Mount Pelerin Society, founded in Switzerland in 1947 with Milton Friedman, von Hayek, I think, was there, right-wing CIA with William Buckley, European feudal nobility. In other words, the ideological basis, the theoretical basis of Bilderberg and the things that come later is already laid in 1947. The Volcker Fund gets involved. There are books about this, right? How reactionary and fascist businessmen supported this stuff. They funded it and promoted it.
Well, sure, let's go back. I mean, you've got the Rockefellers funding Hitler from the beginning. All that's on record and declassified. But let's go back, because we had that private discussion, because you concede it's on record. The very same robber barons funded Marx, Engels, the whole deal. Explain how Marxism is synthetic as well, and what's the synthesis between the libertarianism they want to control, and you could argue began, and the communism. What is, because that's what the Carnegie documents show, is they do say there's a synthesis. What is it?
Well, we want to break out of it, but let's go back. I think I'm the foremost critic of Marx, right? My thesis is that Marx was a British agent. And you can see this in stuff that I published in 1994, 1995. Marx operated out of Great Britain, right? Everybody knows that he studied at the reading room of the British Museum, right? Today, the British Library. His patron was a guy called David Urquhart. David Urquhart had been the British ambassador to the Ottoman Empire, right, to Turkey, to Constantinople. And this guy, Urquhart, had a newspaper, and Marx earned his money, not so much from the New York Herald Tribune, but from this newspaper of David Urquhart. Urquhart is the guy who told Marx the plan for Das Kapital, right, capital, the main work of Marx. Urquhart was interested in dialectics. Urquhart had classes for working people. And this, the funny thing about it is that Urquhart was a tremendous hater of Russia. And people may not remember this, but even in the 50s and 60s, it was an embarrassment to the Soviets to have Marx as their guru. But at the same time, when you look at what Marx actually writes, it's always attacking Russia. Well,
exactly. And they sent that biological political weapon in 1917. It's not your thesis. Anthony Sutton got the documents. There were congressional hearings on it. McCarthy discovered it and then was destroyed. That the entire time, the Department of War, everything sent hundreds of millions of dollars, you know, the one train of gold with 50 million with Lenin on board in to overthrow the czars because they knew there was already a revolution going on in Russia. I mean, communism was sent from England and the United States by the robber barons.
Yes. Let me just say, Marx was acting as a typical British agent in the 19th century when the main enemies of Great Britain were Russia and the United States. And indeed, during the American Civil War, there's a convergence between Lincoln and the Tsar as the good guys, in my view, when the Russian fleet arrived in New York, the Russian fleet arrived in San Francisco, and the British knew in 1863, if you attack the United States, you get a world war with the United States, Russia, probably Prussia, against Britain, France, and Spain.
And by the way, people forget this, and then they say, Alex, you're from the South. What do you mean you say the North's good? No. On record, they sent British intelligence in to foment the South, who had real grievances, to try to break the country up. I mean, this is what they do.
Right. Freemasonic agitators, very relevant point. But now, when we look at Lenin, Lenin is someone who was sent in by the British and by the U.S. to create chaos. The trick was now Lenin turns into the Frankenstein principle. In other words, they say, let's promote the breakup of the Tsarist Empire and feast on the remains. And then Lenin, being this fanatic that he was able to pull a coup and carry out to create this dictatorship, which then turned into something different. But no matter how much it evolved under Stalin, it was always crippled by Marxist doctrine. And the crippling was that they didn't have small and medium industry. They didn't have individual initiative, right? They didn't have entrepreneurship.
And then the CIA in 49 now declassified, I'd always read this and seen this, they now admit in the last 5 years, put Mao Zedong into power, who destroyed all small and medium, collectivized and killed 60 plus mil.
Well, that of course is the British policy, right? The British had always hated Chiang Kai-shek and the Chinese nationalists. But what what was going on there. This was actually done by General Marshall. And this, it gets back to my thesis about Pearl Harbor. You have this group of Stimson, Bundy, Lovett, and McCloy. These are the top leaders of the U.S. banking establishment that enter. They enter the Roosevelt administration as part of a national unity government to wage World War II. They sabotage Roosevelt. They make Pearl Harbor a reality. And then they send General Marshall, who's a willing tool, to China. And what does he do? He cuts off all military aid to Chiang Kai-shek for a year and a half so that Mao will win. Yes, indeed. Mao was put there because Mao was programmed with British ideology, Bentham and Darwin and things like this. And he then he kept China in a state of backwardness. Once Mao was dumped in the 70s, you get the immediate economic development of China. The economic development of China is also a monument to the American system.
And again, exactly. But expanding on that, just backing up what you're saying, that's why leading up to this, the British had gone in using opium on record hundreds of years previous to take over China. I mean, this really is a global system of sabotage. But it's not a thesis. This is all on record, Tarpley. So
sure. And just on the opium, what you just mentioned, the opium was run by the British East India Company. And they had a school of economists associated with them. David Ricardo, the founder of so-called British classical economics, was the boss of the British East India Company. In other words, he was the biggest dope pusher in the world. James Mill, John Stuart Mill, and other British economists of the time, generally funded by the British East India Company. Malthus is, of course, the ancestor of Keynes. British East India Company cadre school.
And let's expand. British East India Company, 1832, after they'd been kicked out of the U.S. And the Nationalists had defeated them, they sent a giant scout ship or mothership that was skull and bones funded off of opium money on record.
Right. And these are the families that go into the Boston and New York banking establishment. But here, Ricardo originated the quantity theory of money. The modern representatives of the quantity theory of money are von Hayek, von Mises, and libertarianism. And this obsession, I heard yesterday you were having to fight off people wanting to talk about narcotics, right, and how great narcotics were. This is, you can see this as a kind of original sin of this school of economics, right, the Austrians and the libertarians, which is that they, just like George Soros, are obsessed with making narcotics available everywhere, as if the American people weren't.
And what do they say? What do they say?
What do they say?
Me gold?
Yeah, me gold. Me gold! That's the leprechaun. And the leprechaun, especially the leprechaun, I think leprechaun 5, lip in the hood, out to do no good. That's Ron Paul. Narcotics and gold. Take a look. It's an interesting parody.
Yeah, but give it with the full power, Tarpley.
All right, you let me talk a little bit. Now, let me just make my action point. We now have a situation where lots of people in this country were betrayed last week by the two-party system, the Republicans and the Democrats. How did they both betray you? One side is Wisconsin, the other side is Washington.
Stay there. Break it down the other side. We got to go to break here. Syndicated radio, Tarpley. We always break at 30 after. It's not a conspiracy. I even skipped the last break. But I want to let you finish up with what you have to say about Ron Paul, what we argued about the other night before all this unfolded. Straight ahead, Webster Tarpley is our guest.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Well, that was some fascinating history that Webster Tarpley was just giving you, and I've researched it all myself. And everything he's saying is exactly as it transpired from every perspective. He's just able to encyclopedically go into all the names, all the history. I mean, so much of it that I've read and studied over the years and then forgotten, and then he's bringing it up here. This is the truth. The mega ultra rich created communism as a counter revolution so that when people ran from their robber baronism, which was not free market, as they call it, you know, totally centralized monopolyism. John D. Rockefeller said competition is a sin. They would run into communism, which was again controlled by them. And I wanted to get into De Gaulle and why they hated him so much. But also, you know, talk about Ron Rand Paul, what he said to me a week and a half ago that I disagreed with. And it doesn't mean I totally, all this has been proven and vetted out, but his instinct was proven accurate. And then where he sees this country going with some of his ideas for solutions. And again, doesn't mean I endorse it all. We're just having a discussion about it. We're going back to Tarpley here in just one moment. I want to just remind listeners that we are listener supported. We have a 15-day free trial to see the nightly news and to watch the video feed of the radio show, InfoWars Live, every day, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern. It's 15 cents a day. You get six memberships for the price of one, and there's a 15-day free trial. Pretty darn good, yeah. Create a username and passcode that you can share that isn't, you know, to your bank account, and six people can be logged in at the same time with the same username and passcode. So that's $5.95 a month for six memberships. Nobody can beat that. We just need the money to pay for the high-quality bandwidth. Some of our video feeds are in high def. The others are in medium res so they can stream out well. We're adding more. We're about to hire more reporters. We're struggling through all the 600-plus incredible entries. We've launched planetinfowars.com, the social network. Be sure and check that out. We are trying to go to the next level in the fight against tyranny. So be sure and get PrisonPlanet.tv memberships at PrisonPlanet.tv. It takes about a minute to sign up. Also, we carry the best gravity-fed filters. It blows the competition away. They've got Traveler Pro Pures, Big Pro Pures. We've got other systems as well out there. But this is the best, and you get 10% off. Nobody can top that discount with the promo code WATER. Infowars.com to get the Pro Pure or 888-253-3139er. And we also are carrying a lot of other great products there, T-shirts, books, videos, all of it. Jesse Ventura's new book, Demo Crips and Reblublicans, and talk about how they're organized crime. And those of us that are political savvy understand special interest took this over. Now NATO admits that they command our military. I mean, the treason is out in the open. There's press releases out Sunday that the globalization of U.S. Special Operations Forces, that's the headline put out by them. NATO admits they've got foreign troops training to take on American citizens. I mean, this treason is out in the open as we're prepared for foreign occupation. Obama, the headline's up at drudgereport.com. It's also at Infowars.com. More drones than Obama knows what to do with. I mean, it's just, you know, 10,000 for the Air Force, 5,000 for the Army, 5,000 for Homeland Security, predators, watching the Amish, watching people with their cows, Google working for the NSA, got bot cars driving around, stealing your passcodes, downloading everything. There is just a lawless rush of tyranny. So fast now, I can't even interpret it fast enough. And Tarpley, I want to get your take on why we're seeing the mad rush right now. World being imploded by design. You're saying it's out of control, but I read documents where they admitted they were doing this a decade ago. A lot of points I'm making here, but finish your point about you know, what you said to me a week and a half ago about the polls, the Democrats, the Republicans, as you say, betraying people, the synthesis of that. And then I want to get briefly into DeKalb and then talk about where the world is right now politically, what we're on the precipice of.
All right. First, I would say, rather than dwell on the polls, I think what people have to do is search their own consciences in a way of saying, you have to ask yourself, how was it possible for me to be duped? How could I be fooled for so long, right? Because many were. And I would say, if the only thing you've learned from this is that Ron Paul and Rand Paul are people that you can't trust, that is better than nothing, but that is not going to be enough. You've got to see that their betrayal is rooted in Austrianism and libertarianism, that the doctrine itself is designed to promote false consciousness. In other words, a fantastic distortion of reality and a kind of political action that cuts the throats of the people who promote it, right? It's a way to say, come and flay me alive, that's what I'm demanding. And if you look at Europe, right, you look at Syriza in Greece, they're fighting against austerity, whereas the Pauls were coming saying, we're going to impose $1 trillion of really brutal, savage austerity. But now, take a step back from that. The betrayal last week was bipartisan. This is what has to be grasped. We had an epiphany of treachery. Obama, last week, betrayed the magnificent movement of working people in Wisconsin, right? You've got a fascist Governor Walker. He wants to bust the unions. He wants to destroy the state health system. He wants to destroy the state educational system. The guy is an enemy of civilization. So working people mobilized. They gathered a million signatures. It is the biggest signature gathering effort in any state of the United States ever in proportion to population. Obama in 2007 had said, if workers are being deprived of their rights anywhere, I will get some comfortable shoes and I will go out and walk the picket line with you as president of the United States. He never lifted a finger. He never went there. He didn't send Biden. He didn't send Solis, the Secretary of Labor. He didn't send the Attorney General to look into obvious violations of law, including voting law. And now the thanks to the hack Democrat Barrett, the Wisconsin movement has gone down to defeat. So the people who are betrayed by Ron Paul and Rand Paul on the one side are in good company because they're joined by this tremendous movement of working people in the Midwest that were trying to fight off these governors. The governors, of course, controlled by ALEC, right? American Legislative Exchange Council, meaning the Koch brothers, meaning big money from New York City, right? As populist as they try to be. So I would say to people, you have now got to ask yourself where that leaves you. Obama is being taken down. The Bilderbergers are absolutely for Romney and probably Mitch Daniels. I regard that as part of a general fascist offensive in this country. The goal will be to lower the American standard of living by approximately 25% in the next 12 months, much as has been done in Greece. And if you think that will balance the budget, look again. In Greece, 25% cut in the national budget and generally in the economy leads to the total debt burden of the country going from 130% of gross domestic product to 170%. In other words, the more you cut, the bigger the deficit gets, and
Webster,
it never ends.
I want to. You can continue in a moment, but I want to inject something here. Yeah. You talk about synthesis. The very same tax-free foundations try to control every movement, and they pushed dependency. They pushed welfareism. They wanted to get a big mass of people dumbed down on welfare, living off the dole, big giant government operations, unions, cops out writing tickets to feather their nest all day on bankrupt families, you know, a mom with four kids in the back with snot coming out of their nose. And so they know people are mad at the big government, mad at the unions making more money than they are. Bilderberg in 66 had the head of the, you know, big unions there. You know, the big auto workers unions selling them out. My point is the unions have been taken over forever. Were they good 100 years ago saying no to fascism and the Rockefellers with Pinkerton Security out shooting people, taking people's private property, you know, the railroads just taking whatever they want? I understand they rebranded themselves as free marketeers, but that's as the answer to their command and control socialist model. They, as Carol Quigley says in Tragedy and Hope, they create both movements and then try to integrate them. I mean, certainly they didn't want Ron Paul talking about the Federal Reserve and the New World Order and you know, the UN and all this in the past. I mean, I don't agree with you that, you know, Paul and Rand are like operatives. I mean, I've met them. I know them. They believe in what they're saying. So, again, I reject the big government, and I understand the system, after they've already bankrupted things, wants to use libertarianism as a cover for austerity, which means raise my taxes, pay more of my money to banker bailouts, while pointing their finger all day at little old ladies having their welfare checks cut off. I understand that if you're going to give, now it's $34 trillion the last 5 years to mega banks, just in the U.S. alone, that they give to nobody, and the Republicans never complain about that, and then they want to cut off an old lady, Social Security, who's going to starve to death. I get it, okay? I understand there's unlimited money and resources and ingenuity, robotics, all of it. I know the globalists admit they want a post-industrial world. They're fighting to keep the economy stalled. They want to stall the economy with carbon taxes in California so they can consolidate. I understand the basics of economics. I understand we're in a rigged game. But, I mean, how do we navigate out of this?
Well, what we've just had is an object lesson. The Republican Party and the Democratic Party are both hopelessly rotten and must be jettisoned. Turn away from them. Do not ever in your life, ever again, go for an establishment politician, a 10 or 12 term congressman from the Republican Party or a young state senator. This, I think, is the overwhelming lesson. Obama was a bait and switch. Obama said, hope change, I'll end the war in Iraq. and instead you got the things that Obama has
Libya,
done.
Libya, Syria.
Yeah, and also, he has the right to kill you. He has the right to put you in Guantanamo Bay. But with the polls, what we get is this superficial patter, anti-war. Ron Paul voted for the motion to apply military force. He voted for the 9/11 resolution. He voted for the Afghan war. And when he voted for that, that is the entire totalitarian transformation of the United States is in that bill. The motion for military force of September, October 2001. Ron Paul hasn't got a leg to stand on. He voted for all of these things, for the war, the dictatorship, and all the rest. And as you should remember, he repudiated 9/11 truth not once but twice. Repudiated 9/11 truth in the 2008 campaign, and then again on January 1st of this year with Jake Tapper. But here's the thing. What are we going to do about this? I would say right now a void has opened up. The Bilderbergers are dismantling Obama. The Ron Paul, Rand Paul illusion is collapsing. The Adbusters, this is also funny, Adbusters and Occupy Wall Street, there's a beautiful tape by this foul-mouthed comedian, Bill Maher, who mocks Occupy Wall Street. He says, you are a bunch of anarchists. You want to camp in the park. You like to go out there and sleep among the hedges and all this stuff. This is impotent. He compared them. He said the Tea Party gets 60, 70 members of the House of Representatives and a few senators. So far, you guys have nothing. So they're collapsing. Paul's collapsing. Occupy collapsing. Wisconsin movement betrayed by Obama. Obama being taken down. I see a political void. Let's fill that void. Let's have a national emergency anti-austerity conference against both parties. It would be anti-Wall Street, anti-war, anti-tyranny. It would be in favor of seizing the Federal Reserve and using it for the benefit of the American people and for maintaining the social safety net.
Well, Paul should be calling for seizing the Federal Reserve. Instead, his son has endorsed Romney, who says it is outside of Congress and Congress has no power over
it. It is time to say goodbye to all that. Goodbye to the Republican Party. Sorry, boys. You know, some of us concluded this after Bush, right, that we wouldn't be seen with a Republican for 5,000 years. Obama, the case is open and shut. Both of these parties, it's like Greece, right? You have the New Democracy and the PASOK, and they both support IMF austerity. The Republicans come at you with a chainsaw. Obama comes at you with the death of a thousand cuts and slow poisoning. Dump them both. Dump them both practically and theoretically. In other words, look into your own mind and see all of the assumptions that Ron Paul was going to save you. He is not going to save you. Ron Paul is looking out for Ron and above all for little Rand. So we need an organizing alternative. If you don't have some organization, you are lost. These unions, you are right, in a depression and with the ruling class mobilized in a fascist offensive, as we're going to see now this year, the unions cannot by themselves resist. They're going to be swept away, as they were in Wisconsin. We need some kind of
political
umbrella.
Well, they're not swept
away.
They've been under control since the 50s, 100% by the globalists.
This is Governor Walker. Governor Walker, who is a relative of Bush, right? George Herbert Walker Bush and George Walker Bush. That's their relative, Governor Walker of Wisconsin. He is smashing those unions. Mitch Daniels is going to be on the ticket because he was the most successful union smasher. Governor Snyder in Michigan is sending in dictators to run Benton Harbor and Flint and Pontiac, Michigan.
Oh, listen to what you don't understand, Tarpley. I know you're an economist. Because of China and because the globalists won't let us have any tariffs, and so it's not free or fair trade because they got slave labor, they've got hidden tariffs. It's a joke. It's deindustrialized us. There really can't be any unions anymore because there's no industry left to speak for. So that's why it's all totally. And then Obama takes 20 plus billion in taxpayer money to pay to ship Cadillac and Volt factories to China. I mean, a foreign army couldn't do that.
So join me in campaigning for a protective tariff. That's what I'm for. I'm for mercantilism, protectionism, and dirigism. That's what de Gaulle stood for.
Yeah, explain why they didn't like de Gaulle. That's important.
Because de Gaulle said, I am going to use the powers of government to modernize the French economy, raise the standard of living, go towards full employment. This is why France has the best railway system in Europe, right? The TGV. It has the best nuclear energy industry. It has the best aeronautics, right, with the Concorde and the Airbus and all the rest of it. France, you go back to, you know, right after World War II, France had no aeronautics industry worth mentioning. Now they are a world leader thanks to Airbus. They can launch satellites.
De Gaulle actually had to kick NATO out. He had to grab their nukes. There was actually some military. Were actually some military standoffs. People don't know about that. Sarkozy brought France back into NATO. Give people some of the backstory on that.
There were 35 attempts by NATO intelligence to murder de Gaulle, to assassinate him, and it was using Vichy fascists, people left over from the Nazi occupation government. So de Gaulle came on the scene with a coup d'etat in 57-58, and this was a strong state. I think people make a tremendous mistake. If you think the American state today is strong, you're wrong. We have a weak state. We have a state that's pushed around by J.P. Morgan Chase, by Exxon Mobil, by Halliburton.
Look at the credit agencies run by the foreign banks who have governments begging at their knees to them.
And imagine the United States government trembles in front of Standard & Poor's. De Gaulle knew what to do. De Gaulle would have sent tanks to the headquarters of Standard & Poor's. He would have rounded up a bunch of Wall Street financiers and put them in the clink. He did, in fact. There was one point where Monaco, right, the Duchy of Monaco, was trying to become a tax haven so French millionaire, billionaire fat cats could go there and not pay taxes. De Gaulle encircled Monaco with troops and tanks, and that was the end of the neo-feudalist experiment. That's what we're fighting for. The enemy is neo-feudalism. Peter Thiel is a great example of neo-feudalism. Let's build islands where we can have slavery, prostitution, narcotics.
Well, no, but what they do is they bring big government tyranny here, then they build little fiefdoms where they're safe from what they did. All right, Webster Tarpley is our guest. We covered a lot of news so far and took a lot of calls. We're going to go a little bit into overdrive into the next hour with Webster. All I know is that I try to study politics and history constantly, and it is complex, and the system knows that. You talk about the general public, they have no idea what's going on. So we have a very big government, but he's right, it's not strong. In fact, they're getting it where foreign corporations, banks come in and boss the government. Blackwater, during Katrina, came into the mayor's office and said, we're in command. Now, they sent federal troops in to confiscate guns. And that's what these neo-feudalistic globalists set up. And that's what they want. They want a post-industrial world. This is their statement. But they're using Agenda 21, total government regulation on the little guy to shut us down while they, the globalists, give themselves a libertarian offshore system to be above it. So it's not, Webster, that they're really libertarians. It's that they want a selective libertarian system for themselves while total post-industrial, neo-feudalistic Hunger Games serfdom under an environmental dictatorship for us. I mean, certainly there's the big government model they're using selectively. I mean, what do you say to that dichotomy that they are synthesizing that I just mentioned?
Well, it reminds me of what people used to say about the Soviets, right? Saying, this is not real Marxism, right? The real existing communism in these places is somehow not the pure doctrine. It never was. It never will be. These neo-feudalists are actually acting out. They're implementing the essence of libertarianism, which is precisely that you go into living hell and they go into some paradise, right? Whether it's in Aspen or offshore or in Switzerland, whatever it is. In other words, it is the war of the 1% against the 99%, but it's that war being conducted with the 99% drugged, stupefied, incapable of understanding their own interests. I would say we have to be, first of all, students of what's going on in the world, right? Look at Greece. The Syriza bloc with Alexis Tsipras, they are going to be fighting this coming Sunday, June 17th. They have already passed the equivalent of the Republican and the Democratic Party. The two major parties in Greece are collapsing thanks to this Syriza bloc. Let's learn from them. What's their program, right? No austerity, no attacks on unions, social justice, put the bankers in jail, and a debt moratorium, right? If you have too much debt in a country like this, then you're going to have to postpone the payments, right? Freeze it for a while. They've gone from 4% to 30%, and they may become the next government. That's the most inspiring thing I can see. We need to learn from those examples. Look at what succeeds, what fails. Paulism has failed. Syriza is succeeding. The Wisconsin method has also failed. Don't let the Democratic Party come in and take your mass struggle and turn it into a political campaign with consultants and TV ads for one of their hacks. That's why I say National Emergency Anti-Austerity Conference sometime in August. When the Supreme Court comes down with their opinion on Obamacare, this will be from the rats cabal, Roberts, Alito, Thomas, Scalia. And they were probably going to say Obamacare is unconstitutional. And by the way, the American people have no economic rights. We're stripping you of Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and everything else. We're going to leave you nothing but your eyes to cry with. We are going to flay you alive. Who can fight back against that? The unions, as you're correctly saying, can't because they're slaves to Obama. The Pauls will be joining in. They'll be cheerleading. They'll say, yeah, flay them alive, flay them alive. This is our predicament. We've got to have some form of national self-defense to assert the interests of the vast majority of the population. And 75% of Americans want their Medicare, their Social Security, and their Medicaid. They don't want to be flayed
alive. But that's the trap. They get you addicted to the government. Then, like a crack dealer, they start taking it away.
I think that's
well, hold on. Oh, we got breaks are there. We have to do those. Coming up, we're going to have a ton of news, breakdown of information on what's happening in our world as all these bureaucracies and private corporate interests come in and basically take over government and weaponize government against the people. Webster, I get that you can have government that directs development. The problem is this is a global eugenics corporate government that exempts itself from its own rules. They're weaponizing government at every level against us to spy and surveil and electroshock us to death. And it's all going to hell in a handbasket. And they're launching all these new proxy wars using Al-Qaeda to attack Syria and take over Libya. And then I'm not patriotic if I don't support Al-Qaeda. You've been to Syria. We're out of time. I'll have you back soon. But briefly, give us your take on the admissions that they're using Al-Qaeda against Syria right now.
Well, nothing new, right? Al-Qaeda is the CIA Arab Legion, and they're the ground troops. But just to return to your last point, the answer is not to take people's food stamps away. You want a recovery? Here it is in a nutshell. Seize the Federal Reserve. You can do it with a phone call. A real president could call up and say, Bernanke, here's what you're going to do. You're going to issue $1 trillion of credit stimulus, 0%, 100 years. And you are going to give the states, you're going to buy bonds from the states.
And the bankers get that. We the people don't, though.
And they're going to give it to private contractors. We're going to rebuild the interstates, the railways, the energy systems, the canals, the waterways, schools, hospitals, public buildings. We're going to have a space program again. That can all be financed through federal lending, not federal spending, federal lending. The Fed can manufacture money out of the air. Right now, they do it at 0% for zombie bankers and hedge fund hyenas only. We say stop that. We want 0% for productive activities. And that goes down to the restaurant, the dry cleaner, the auto repair shop. Those are productive. They shouldn't have to pay sky high interest rates. They should be close to zero. And then you get a recovery. So having a recovery is easy. Seize the Fed. Don't destroy it. We want that credit creating power, job creation, national infrastructure. We could show the world how you defeat a depression in a single day. We could do it. So there's no reason to be pessimistic. There's every reason to be optimistic.
No, the American system
is optimistic.
Sure, I mean, I agree with what you're saying. The issue is that's not the direction we're going in.
We need a mass movement. We need to change the direction. In Greece, Greece was being destroyed. People were committing suicide. Syriza came forward and said, we're here to fight. Let's fight. Let's not be so damn worried about what the enemy is doing. Let's worry about what we're going to do. And we need independent organization. We've seen the tragedy. If you go into an organization that's controlled by finance capital through the Pauls or through through this guy Barrett in Wisconsin or whatever it is, you lose. Independent organization, not controlled by Wall Street or the Koch brothers or Soros or any of their stooges.
Well, we're living in incredible times because the corporate welfare people are imploding things by design. They're taking over Europe. They're militarizing against us. And they have a plan to take over. We have to develop a plan.
So we need a plan and an organization to back it up. And that's what it is. Without organization, you're nowhere. You can't have enough guns. I'm sorry. You can't have enough survival stocks. It's pathetic. You've got to have organization. That's where power resides. A political organization. Again, Syriza from 4% to 30%. Why can't we do that here? We could do it rather easily. But people have got to get on board. Forget the polls. Forget
we're out of time. Give us your leprechaun invitation.
And remember that Ron Paul was talking fetishism, alienation, magical thinking, right? Me gold! Me gold! That was his program, right? He thinks that gold has magical powers? No. Gold represents really the productive power of humanity projected onto a metal. The value of a currency is what can you buy with it.
What about Lep in the Hood? What about Lep in the Hood?
Yeah, Lep in the Hood out to do no good. That's Ron Paul. Lep in the Hood out to do no good. So that's the Leprechaun series. I trust I'll be getting a check from them.
Here's something else. Tarpley, thank you for spending time with us.
Okay,
another perspective. Another perspective from Tarpley. Okay, God bless you, folks. Transmission will continue.